This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to The Kevin Kelly Show, exclusively here on placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. And now here's your host, the voice of Ring of Honor, Mr. Kevin Kelly. When you're on.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to episode 5 of the Kevin Kelly Show here on the Place to Be Nation. Weezer kicking things off. Forget how snappy that tune was, man. It sticks with you. It's funny how music gets you either through things or create memories. I'll talk a little bit about that. Kind of on the road stories later on. Music definitely a big part of it, big part of the car rides. And I'll be talking to a good friend later on. Our special guest this week is none other than Scrap Iron Adam Pearce, who has had a very interesting, very long career, ups and downs, and where he stands now and how he plans on finishing strong. Because I think he's about done, and he could very well be the next PA announcer of the San Diego Padres. Talk about a quantum leap for a career shift. That's amazing. But anyway, I want to thank you all for listening. The audience has grown with every episode, and I'm very proud of that. I'm proud of the work that Justin and Dan and everybody behind the scenes and the Place to Be Nation is doing. And I want to thank you guys for spreading the word. So with that, I watched Raw this week. I know, crazy, right? Who does that anymore? It used to be Can't Miss Television, and now it's I'll do anything but watch it. But I really wanted to see what they were going to do with Daniel Bryan. And there were a couple of takeaways. One, I think the way they ended the show was as dark and as violent as you could do in the PG era. Now, I know if I was being, think about it, put yourself in a, and Vince always said this, what would you do if this was a real fight? Okay. Daniel Bryan wouldn't have done what he did if it was a real fight. You know, yeah, he would have been getting his ass kicked, but I'm sorry, if he's there and if he's got, you know, Hunter holding him, and he's got Stephanie right in front of him, and she's like making the mean face and slapping him, I'm calling her every name under the sun, and not one word coming out of my mouth would be, you hit like a girl. To me, that was the most emasculating thing that anybody could have ever said or done for Daniel Bryan. But does that diminish his star power? Does that diminish the amazing ride that he is on? No. No, 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 no. He's going to get his moment at WrestleMania. There's no doubt about it. And it's going to be very satisfying for his fans. And that's why I thought last Monday was done so well. Also love the turn of the Shield. Very interesting. See where they go with that. And I think they're going to be ready for the breakout here through the summer months. So that's an exciting time. As far as, you know, I always try to think thematically what happened since the last episode to finish strong. And because that's always, you know, kind of the running theme of this show. And I can't really say anything that happened the last 2 weeks has been really pointing me towards finishing strong, except for today. And what I'm excited today about, not only am I excited about Adam Pearce as our special guest, because that's going to be a lot of fun. But I'm excited about our guest for 2 weeks. A young man who came to an ROH tryout camp and absolutely killed it, did a dark match in Baltimore and was going to get a spot in Ring of Honor, which is pretty much unprecedented, to where you go from the camp to one dark match and then having a spot in mind. He came down with cancer. Now, it wasn't the first thing that had happened to him. First, I guess he had gotten alopecia, which is a weird thing. That's where all your hair falls out.
Kevin, can I cut in here?
Yeah.
I had alopecia.
What?
Yes. It was not the full everything. It was just it started in my like in my beard area, then it was on my sideburn, and then I had a big splotch on my head, like right in the front of my hairline. And it fucks with you big time, because all you do is stare at it and you wonder if more is going to fall out. And then it gets worse because you're nervous about it. And it's just, it was not fun. But I don't want to hijack your open. We can talk more about it later.
No, Justin Rosero, our producer, is here. Now, let me ask you this. You say had.
Yes.
It grew back?
It did. I tried to do some all-natural methods, and it was some of the more
you
grosser.
You mean like smoking pot?
No, I did not smoke pot, but it was one of the grosser few weeks of my life where we bought a juicer and juiced onions and put onion juice on it. And that was supposed to be one of the cures. And it worked a little bit, but it was coming in very slowly.
Yeah. Now, our buddy Hansen.
Yes.
Of course, he rehabbed and changed his physical being that he is now in Ring of Honor because of juicing and yoga. So, but you're saying you smeared the onion juice on your head?
On my head. So I'd do that in the morning. My wife would get up with me, God bless her. And we'd apply it in the morning before work. I'd lay back in bed. And I smell like onions whenever I'd sweat, but it started to slowly work, and I started to do it out of spite, because my dermatologist laughed at me, and I was not a fan of that, so I started to just say, well, fuck you, I'm just going to make this work, and it was starting to slowly come in, but after a while, it was just like, I need to fix this. I was trying to shave my head as close as possible, but it was still really obvious, and so eventually I had to get steroid shots in my skull,
yeah,
which hurt like a motherfucker. And that helped. It jump-started it back and came back. And I've been okay, knock on wood, now for a few years. But there are many reasons. They said it could have been, like, stress, but I don't think it was that. It could have been a one-time allergic reaction, or it could be something that's dormant and could come back at any time,
yeah,
which is pretty effed up. So I do know there are some people that have it, like Charlie Villanueva, used to be a player for the Milwaukee Bucks and Pistons. He had, like, the full-body alopecia, like, every
yes.
day, like, no hair. So thankfully I didn't have that, but it's not fun. I was reading some horror stories of women and people that killed themselves because they couldn't stand looking at themselves and dealing with it and the fear of it coming back. And you know, they use a lot of like Locks for Love, and that kind of stuff is done to create wigs for people that suffer from it. So
yeah,
so there you go. I had to jump in when I heard alopecia.
All right, well we'll talk later, because we'll talk all about Providence and we'll talk college basketball a little bit. But
cool.
So anyway. And that's our producer, Justin Rosero. He'll be joining us later on with the wrestling flash, the sports flash later on, and he'll also be telling us where you can find the Kevin Kelly Show. But anyway, back to sometimes you're looking for inspiration, and a lot of what I'm going to talk with Adam Pierce about is the end, because I know he's coming to the end of his career, and I'm not trying to, you know, jump the lead here, but I think that's what he's going to kind of point to here in this interview. I'm going to ask him about it, and if he doesn't want to go there, he didn't want to go there, but I think the end is near. So we're going to talk about finishing strong with him, but then, like today, I read the article that was on the Layfield Report, which you can find if you go to my Twitter, at Real Kevin Kelly, and you can find the article that was written about Ashley Six on the Layfield Report. Now, so here's a young man who had come to a Ring of Honor tryout camp after he had gotten alopecia. And it wasn't, like Justin had said, it wasn't the full body kind. It had stopped. But he was sort of kind of this grungy looking punk rocker anyway. So having some patches, it kind of worked for him. He was missing half an eyebrow, and he had a patch, I think, like on the back of his head, and a patch here and a patch there. And I don't think he had any hair on his arms. And I think he might have lost his eyelashes, which can be a little troubling too. But anyway, it didn't stop there for him. This was now he comes to the ROH tryout camp after suffering with the alopecia, which is, as Justin said, more of an annoyance, really cosmetic. It doesn't affect you physically too much, but anyway, it's a looks business, so everything means something. But then he gets done with this dark match after killing it at the camp, right? And he's driving back home, and he lives in Toronto, and all of a sudden he can't feel his legs, and his back is all messed up, and he's thinking that something happened. I mean, he didn't get injured in the match. This is just something that happened over the course of this 10-hour car ride. And so he winds up in the hospital, and he winds up being diagnosed with cancer. Now, that is it right there. He's a young man. I think he's in his 20s. He's been a stuntman. He's done all kinds of great stuff. He's a tremendous professional wrestler, smart, talented guy. I'll let you in on a little secret. And I could probably get in trouble for saying this, but I don't care because it's my show. Remember Scum in Ring of Honor? Well, Ashley Six was talked about being a part of Scum. But then he got sick. So that kind of wrote him out of that, unfortunately for him. So anyway, and I've talked to him a couple of times, and I saw him in Toronto, and he said he was doing better, and he said he, you know, was going through the treatment, and he's just like, oh my God, I can't believe this. And I think there was something else that happened too in the middle of all this. But anyway, the biggest thing was cancer. And now he's back, and he's back to full strength, and he's cancer-free, he's in remission, and he's putting on a benefit show in Toronto on April the 13th. So he's going to be here in 2 weeks to promote that show and to talk about his remarkable story. But man, sometimes when you're looking for motivation and you're wondering where motivation can come from on a day-to-day basis, sometimes you just have to open up your eyes and look. Because if you follow the news at all, okay, you've heard. Now, JR, jump in here for a second because I'm going to ask you a question.
All right.
Now, have you been following the news at all lately? Because I don't know if you've heard, but apparently there is a jetliner that is missing.
What?
Have you heard?
No. What's this?
Well, I don't know. It's from some foreign country. And, you know, I heard mention of this, I think, a time or two on the news. I would have thought it would have been a bigger story. But apparently this plane either veered off course or something. They can't find any wreckage. And it's apparently a big mystery. Have you heard about this?
Yes, I have heard about it.
I know.
It's dominated the news cycle.
Brother, I am sick of it.
Okay.
I'm sick of it. And because nobody has any theories and there's no new news. And they're just putting it on there for ratings.
Well, that's true.
And that bothers me. Okay, we don't
so
have
you're
any
sick
more
of the presentation of the coverage, not of the story itself.
No. You know, imagine if your family members, loved ones were on that plane.
Right. Yes.
You ain't feeling sick about it. You want to know every second of the day what's going on. But until you have some news, you know, like when TWA 800 blew up over Long Island in 1996, right? That was big news. But there was wreckage and people, they, you know, there was a beginning, a middle, and an end to the story.
Mm-hmm.
This, there's just the beginning. So, you know, and all you hear about is bad news. All you hear about is you hear about the Malaysian jetliner. You hear about Obamacare. You hear about Miley Cyrus or celebrity du jour being on drugs or being a skank or being a whatever. And I just get sick of it. And I seek out good news. I really do. I actively seek it out because good energy, I think, begets good energy. And the more that I could be around positive-minded people and good energy, the better and happier I'm going to be. The people that I surround myself with are a barometer of my mood, okay? If I'm around a bunch of negative-minded people, I'm going to be in a negative place. But I try to put myself with positive-minded people. And I think people seek me out for that. One of the most consistent pieces of feedback and praise, or however you look at it, critique of this show is, Kevin, I enjoy the wrestling talk, but your positive message is what is the real takeaway. And that's good because that's the point of this show. I'm going to sprinkle in some wrestling stuff, but I'm going to basically talk about living a more positive life as we get and we move along here and we set goals and we prioritize things and we achieve what we want to achieve. That was why the interview with Mike Bennett last week I thought was so great. He's a guy that I gravitate towards because I don't know if you picked up on it in the interview, but he's a pretty positive-minded individual. Him and Maria are absolute peas in a pod. They are one and the same because as strong-minded and as positive as he is, she is equally, if not more. And condolences to Maria for the passing of her uncle because the night after I was on, or Bennett was on our podcast, I went on their podcast because Maria was dealing with the death of her uncle. So, and she had gotten to see him and like the week before he passed away. So that was important to her and condolences to her and her family. But so anyway, Ashley Six's story inspired me. So everybody go seek out my Twitter at Real Kevin Kelly, or on Twitter. You can also find Ashley Six, which is spelled AshleySixX. And you'll find the Layfield Report story about him there. I'm telling you, man, it's just going to inspire you and it's going to make you feel good. And that's why he is going to be, that plus he's a cool dude and he's a great wrestler. And he's going to be on with us in a couple of weeks to talk about his show in Toronto. Speaking of Toronto, tickets are still available, Toronto, for the Global War show on May the 10th. Now, JR, jump in if you can. I don't know if you've heard about this, but this is crazy news, okay? Apparently, Ring of Honor and New Japan are putting on two joint shows.
They are.
One in Toronto on May the 10th and one on the 17th of May in New York, and that one is already completely sold out.
Now, Kevin, let's talk about that New York show for a second. I have a friend who's attending, and he asked me to ask you, and I think this might be good information for other people, when should they get to the building? Because if it's sold out, and the word on the street is Manhattan Center is open seating, as I learned. Do you have any recommendation in your experience? Is there a better time? Like, how soon do the doors open? What's your recommendation for getting there and getting good seating?
Good question. I don't know if it's all open seating, right?
I think the floor was reserved and all of the balcony, I think, was open seating.
Okay. I've seen the line form as early as 3 hours before.
Okay.
I would say for this morning.
Wow.
Think about it.
What time is the show? 7 o'clock? 7:30?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I can't imagine. Put it this way, because I guess there's going to be close to 2,000 people in the building.
Yep.
Right? Maybe more. I don't know. I don't know how many seats were actually sold.
Can you break out the old Jesse Ventura WrestleMania 6 line when like someone says the capacity and then you say, oh, it's actually 2002, me and you, Steve Corino. It's like Jesse said at WrestleMania 6.
That's an odd reference, one which I don't understand, but thank you for sharing. So tell your friend, here's what I would say. I'd say get there in the morning.
So get to the city in the morning or get in line in the morning?
Get in line.
Wow.
If everybody gets there. Now, I usually get to the building on the day of an event in New York sometime between 12 and 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There have been people outside milling around, not really lined up, mostly just waiting for autographs and to say hello. By 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, there's usually people in line. So if there are going to be several hundred more people clamoring for the best seats in the house in an event like this that is, I've never seen an event with so much buzz.
Mm-hmm. And he tells me ROH Fever is running wild in Connecticut right now for this show.
Well, that's something else I'm going to talk about.
Okay.
Because not only, so get there super early. And Toronto, we've just released some more seats. There are some seats remaining. But this event is going to sell out too. So don't slack, Toronto. Don't let New York get one over on you. We know this show is going to sell out. Let's sell it out as quickly as possible and let's break records. Okay. We want to have a bigger house in Toronto than we do in New York. Yeah. Ring of Honor Fever running wild. Here's my thought on this. And I talk with Bennett on his podcast about this. I'm going to say this here publicly and on the record. When we first announced this TV deal with Sinclair and I saw the market layout, I was like, I think it's going to take some time, but I got a feeling it's going to pop. And when it does, it's going to pop good, and people are going to start to know it. And I think we're almost there. We've had increases at every event that Ring of Honor has run this year. And that includes Milwaukee, and Chicago was up over last time. Milwaukee's just about at capacity. I don't know how many more people we can get in there. And what else? San Antonio was way up. Philly was up both nights. What else? Where else have we been this year so far? We've been to some good towns. I know that.
You say Pittsburgh?
I didn't say Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh was up, up, up.
Mm-hmm.
Different circumstances, but still up, up, up. So, oh, in Nashville, geez, what a debut. And now we're coming back with Best in the World. That was budgeted for 650. They expected close to 700 people in the door, and we had close to 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty good. And that's kind of the percentages that we're talking about. Now, I was in the WWF in 1996. In 97, houses were 98, started to creep up a little bit. Now they're starting to pop. And we're starting to get emails every time. Hey, we had a great house show the other night, great live event in Pittsburgh, and we did $125,000, and that was up, and congratulations on the big house, biggest house that we've had in this town since 1980-something, 1990-something. Either way, it was a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting that same feeling about Ring of Honor.
Coincided with the show starting, Kevin. I'm not going to put two and two together, but...
I do want to say this now. If you say, would you agree with me that Stone Cold Steve Austin was the catalyst for the Attitude Era?
I would say, main catalyst, yep.
He was the main catalyst. Not the sole, but the main. Okay. Mm-hmm. And on June 23rd, 1996, Austin said at the King of the Ring, Austin 316 says, I just whooped your ass.
He did.
June 24th, 1996, what happened? The kid started. That's right, yours truly. The day after Austin 316 says, I just whooped your ass, Kevin Kelly, I was on a plane. I was on my way. I was in the air when he said that. That's how much power I had. Awesome.
Like kinetic energy flowing through Steve Austin's veins.
Speaking about kinetic, what's going on in Connecticut that's making ROH so hot? Talk to me.
I don't know. He just said ROH fever is running wild. AJ Styles and Jushin Liger, some of the favorites there, I guess. And there's a buzz. And you heard it from Chris Golo last week. They're demanding you return to Connecticut. Not even the TV in Connecticut right now.
That's awesome. I love it. Yeah, we're announcing stars for the New Japan lineup.
Got something to fall asleep during.
Tanahashi, Okada, Nakamura, and Kushida, Jushin Liger, Watanabe. So there'll be more announced.
Nice work with the names.
Ghetto and Jado. That's everybody. Yeah, I've been really practicing.
Yeah, shows.
Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Studying your boy Mike Tanay.
That was his one thing.
Yes.
That was all he had. Then they took the Japs away from him. That was it for him.
Did you enjoy when Lee Marshall would come in as the women's wrestling specialist? That was always my favorite. They have a Tanay as the cruiserweight. They got Lee Marshall puttering around in the payroll, so they had to bring him in as a women's specialist.
I like to say...
Alondra Blade, I mean, Medusa Maselli.
Oh, boy. All right. So, we've set the stage. Adam Pearce is our guest this week. Ashley Six is going to be our guest in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. We'll talk more about Ring of Honor. We'll talk more about all kinds of other business, including the NCAA tournament. We'll answer your questions and more. But right now, our good friend, our longtime close personal pal, Justin Rosero, is going to tell you where you can find The Kevin Kelly Show.
You can find The Kevin Kelly Show in any of the following ways. You can visit placetovnation.com, click The Kevin Kelly Show banner, or the PTBN podcast banner on the right-hand side. You can also subscribe to Place to Be podcast feed on iTunes, and it'll automatically pre-fill into your iTunes application. You can also visit stitcher.com, subscribe to the Place to Be podcast, or download the Place to Be Nation podcast app. By going to placetobe.podbean.com/mobile on your iPhone or iPad, and it'll stream right from your mobile device. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at @place2bnation and at @realkevinkelly, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/place2bnation. If you have any questions or suggestions for the show, you can email us at kevinkellyshow@place2bnation.com or tweet at us using #AskKevin with a double K capitalized.
So there you have it. That's where you can find The Kevin Kelly Show. And with the numbers are increasing, right, JR? Is that what you're telling me?
Oh, yeah, skyrocketing.
Are you lying to me again?
No. Take that number and add 2, Kev, me and you.
That's all it takes, right?
That's all it takes.
What about Dan McGinn? Does he get any credit?
I don't think he listens.
Jeez, Lou. He's back there just typing away. Type, type, type. I see the little green character come up across the screen. I'm like, oh, there he is. Type, type, type.
Pecking
awesome.
Away.
Pecking away. All right, so Pierce is our guest. We'll talk to him, the former booker of Ring of Honor Wrestling. Maybe we'll get some dirt on the company that I work for. Well, I'm going to dig in here. I'm going to really pry it out of him.
Dig
it. He's going to get off this witness stand and be like, damn, that prosecuting attorney was tough.
And tasty.
Take it easy. All right, so Pierce is our guest, and right now let's take a pause for the Wrestling Flash.
I am Justin Rosero. This is your Wrestling News Flash, brought to you exclusively by WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source. It was noted on Raw this week that there'd be no footage of CM Punk versus The Undertaker in the video package that Paul Heyman presented showing Taker's recent WrestleMania matches against people Brock Lesnar has dominated. It was also said that Triple H's line to Daniel Bryan about not taking your ball and going home was a shot at Punk. This past Monday's WWE Raw ranked number 5 for the night in Nielsen's new Twitter TV ratings. Raw had a unique audience of 1.791 million, which represents the number of Twitter accounts that commented on the show. This was up from the previous week. Raw had total impressions of 10.971 million, which represents the number of times the show was tweeted about, also just up from the previous week. Season 2 premiere of E!'s WWE Total Divas did not rank in the top 100 cable TV shows in the adult 18 to 49 demographic this past Sunday night. Ratings were still strong for the show, and you can read all about it on PlaceMania.com as Jen Engel and Ben Morse, of course, are Total Divas watching Total Divas. Mr. T, sucka, is the latest inductee into the Celebrity Wing Hall of Fame of the WWE. On his induction, he tweeted, "Many are called and few are chosen. I thank God I have been called and chosen. The rumors are true. The wait is over. I'll be inducted to the WWE Hall of Fame in New Orleans. Thank you, wrestling fans, and thank you, Vince McMahon. Thank you, thank you, thank you, fans. I'm honored and humbled. I'll do my best to never let you down. Thank you all. I ain't getting on no plane, fool." Before Raw began in San Antonio, WWE made the mistake and got a negative big reaction from the crowd when they aired a Miami Heat video of LeBron James giving his teammates WWE title replica belts. San Antonio, of course, is home to Heat rival Spurs, and this did not go over very well with the crowd. TNA spending $300,000 to tape in New York City.
Allegedly spending
that much to run 3 shows at the famed Hammerstein Ballroom this coming June, July, and August. A move described as insane to spend that much money for building, rental, and production work. One TNA source theorized that this is TNA trying to oppress Spike TV, which is located in New York City, as the two sides still have not yet reached an agreement on their TV deal. It is believed that TNA negotiated the deal with Hammerstein and Spike wasn't involved, so TNA is likely paying the bill. Finally, TMZ has posted footage of UFC Women's Champion Ronda Rousey practicing pro wrestling moves with roommate and fellow UFC fighter Shayna Baszler last week. TMZ reports that Rousey would be interested in wrestling a match at WrestleMania, but this year shows out of question due to her training in movies. Rousey apparently would be willing to appear at WrestleMania 31 next year, as long as her 4 horsewoman crew can come with her.
Baszler, Adam Cole's girlfriend, by the way.
Baszler, Marina Shafir, and Jessamine Duke. Once again, visit our good friends at WrestleChat.net each and every day for the latest news and depth features and the Still Real to Us podcast. More of the Kevin Kelly Show with a visit from Adam Pierce after this break.
Ring of Honor returns to Dayton, Ohio, and the Montgomery County Fairgrounds this Saturday night with a huge live event. Get ready for Flying High. Matches already signed include your main event, tag team grudge match, the Briscoe Brothers. Take on Ring of Honor World Champion Adam Cole and Michael Bennett with Maria Kanellis in their corner. Plus, for the first time in Ring of Honor, the phenomenal AJ Styles versus the knockout artist Chris Hero. It's Hero versus Styles in Dayton. Plus, the television title is on the line with Tommaso Ciampa defending against former champion Matt Taven, Kevin Steen, Bobby Fish, Unbreakable Michael Elgin, Cedric Alexander, and more. Make sure you're there. Doors open at 6:30, bell time 7:30. Montgomery County Fairgrounds, Dayton, Ohio. Get ready for Flying High this Saturday. We're back on the Kevin Kelly Show here on the Place to Be Nation. And as I said, very, very special guest this week. He is a longtime friend of mine. I've known him for well over, 17 years, I think, now I've known him. And we worked together for quite a while in Ring of Honor. And he could very well be the next public address announcer for the San Diego Padres. That's right, folks. Scrap Iron Adam Pierce, welcome to the Kevin Kelly Show. How are you, my friend?
I am well, Kevin. Thank you for having me. Can I indulge, if you have a second, indulge me. I'd like to tell a brief story about you, if I can.
Please.
So,
if it's good, it's true, right?
Well, that's what they say, and I'll leave it up to you to decide whether it's good or not. But as you said a second ago, God, we're going on nearly two decades of knowing each other, which is crazy to think about. But when I moved from Chicago out west, I don't know, 15 years ago now, I was set to think of other things to do besides pro wrestling. I just got done dealing with WCW and was very disgruntled at that point in time. And you, of course, at that point were working for the WWF, which is what it was known then. And I want to thank you because it was you, in a lot of ways, that gave me motivation to continue on in professional wrestling at a time when I was ready, for a lot of reasons, to hang them up. And I just want to thank you. I don't know that I've ever publicly thanked you for kind of spearheading and leaving a door open, as it were, to certain places out west when I first moved out here. And here we are, like I said, you know, 15 years later. I don't know that I've ever thanked you for keeping my mind and my focus on professional wrestling, and I wouldn't be here talking to you today if it wasn't for you. So thank you.
Wow, that, you know, Adam, that really means a lot. And I know as young guys, they struggle all the time because they don't quite know the combination lock, the key to get across the bridge, which three questions to ask, how do we navigate this rocky sea. But you know, sometimes you just, you know, I just was always trying to be there to help a bunch of you guys. And I don't know, you know, if I helped everybody a lot, but I tried to help everybody the way I could. I always put you and kind of Christopher Daniels in that group. And there was a, you know, a group in Chicago, and it was that we could always count on. And it was like you and Daniels and like Vic Capri and Ryan Boz and a bunch of other names. Ace Steel, et cetera, that were sort of in that extended family, that it was like, okay, we know we could always count on you guys, and boy, they all deserve jobs and they all deserve opportunities. So I'm happy I was able to help, and I'm glad we get a chance to talk now, because it has been a long road for you, and you know, what a journey. It's going to be an amazing book someday, and I have a feeling that you will tell tales that will astound and amaze. And probably get some people in trouble.
Yeah, possibly myself. I don't know if it'll amaze anybody or make them want to puke, but I guess we'll find out. But yeah, man, nearly two decades. If you'd asked me, you know, when I was in my early teens, what I was going to do with my life, I would have told you that I wanted to play football for the Green Bay Packers. And never did I imagine that I would have seen places on this globe that I have now. And then it's all this really due to pro wrestling. I'm fond of telling people, Kevin, if you ever hear me complaining about my life, slap me right in the mouth, because I have absolutely nothing bad in my life.
You have a beautiful wife and two kids in San Diego, right?
Two kids. That's 20 years ago, someone would have been crazy for me to think that I was going to have one, but now I've got two of my offspring running around, and I can only hope that they end up better than I am.
Well, hey, listen, if you were my son, I'd look at what you've accomplished, and I would say, you've done all right, kid. I'm pretty proud of you. That's awesome. So don't ever downplay your accomplishments. Although I do want to say that the flowing, luscious locks of Adam O'Brien today, which I saw that picture of, the Wayback Machine was in full effect, man.
Oh, there's not a day that goes by that I don't miss my beautiful lion's mane. Oh, God, that was the fancy of many a female in Chicagoland going back to the mid-90s.
That's why you had to move, I heard, right? There was too many too many problems. Now, let me ask you this. Did you quit? I thought there was the rumor going around. I think we talked about this before. The rumor was that you were leaving the wrestling business at one point. You were going to join the Air Force or in the Navy or something like that. No?
No, I never heard that. Although it'd be interesting. I'm the only one of my close circle of friends from childhood that didn't go into the service, although I never had any inkling that I would ever do that. I've never heard that before.
It was related to your move to San Diego. And I think that was the first kind of story that had, you know, it's like, oh, did you hear about Pierce? He's moving out to San Diego, because I think we were coming back doing some stuff in the Midwest or whatever. And oh, San Diego. Wow. And then maybe it was just a joke. Oh, maybe he's joining the Navy, or maybe he's enlisting. Maybe I took it as, yeah, he's quitting the business and he's joining the Navy. I was like, oh my gosh, he's really doing this.
So well, yeah, all things go around.
That's the way it is. Favorite spot on the globe, of course, other than your home in San Diego, you just competed in, I know you were in Australia last year. You've had opportunities to do a lot of things. Where's your favorite place that you've been?
you know, I'm hard-pressed to find a better city on the planet than Chicago. It'll always be home sweet home. I love getting back probably half a dozen times a year to work and to see family. And San Diego's great, too. But I think the fans down under, Australia, especially the eastern coast of Australia, has really kind of embraced me. And it's really become kind of a second home, if you will, on Earth for me. So so many places. And I think that's the part of the journey that I'm going to look back on when it's all said and done and really be grateful for. It's just being able to get to some of these places that I know I would never have otherwise had the opportunity to do. I think it's something that a lot of guys unfortunately take for granted, and I think it's a blessing.
I know that, of course, one of the things that you're looking to do, and we're going to talk about the, you know, when the time is that it's time to hang them up, but one of the things that you have brewing right now is an amazing opportunity to be the public address announcer for the San Diego Padres. This is true. This is legit. This is really a good possibility of happening.
It's crazy, isn't it, to think about? It's absolutely mind-blowing. They offered up, the Padres put out a press release that they were doing a public open audition to have a new public address announcer at Petco Park in the 10th year, the anniversary, if you will, of the ballpark, which is beautiful. And I just happened to not be wrestling that weekend. And said, what the hell? What do I have to lose? I've got my degrees in communication and obviously a varied background in different various broadcast applications, as you well know. So I went down on a chance with about 1,000 other people, and I've had 3 auditions since then, and just found out this morning, breaking news on the Kevin Kelly Show, I will be calling part of the Padres-Indians game on March the 29th here in San Diego. And if all goes well, I will probably call either the day after or the day after that game against the Giants, or excuse me, the Dodgers, one of which is opening night, nationally televised Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN. So that'd be a big deal if I get that.
Holy crap.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it's gone fast. You know, the attention span of everybody in 2014 is so short. But to think about, it's been a little over a month and a half since this process has started for me. And here we are now really coming down to crunch time. It's been exciting. And I kind of think I'm the dark horse, man. There's radio professionals and Mel Proctor. Anybody that knows baseball announcers over the last 20 years, the name Mel Proctor should ring a bell. He was the play-by-play guy here in San Diego in the late 90s. He's up for this thing. I can't imagine that I'll end up getting the job, but just to be in the conversation would be cool.
Yeah, that is great. And I just wanted everybody to know that, you know, listen, Adam, as great as you were as a wrestler, I was the one that said, when Jim Cornette said, hey, Kevin, I want to create a team for Ring of Honor that's like Mike Goldberg and Joe Rogan, and I don't want to do it because I've got other things to do, the hummy popping popcorn, doing everything else, Cornette said. Who do you want to have work with you? And I said, you know, I've been thinking about this, Jim, and I got an out-of-the-box idea, and I think he'd be a great addition to it. I think he'd really take to it, is Adam Pearce. So I think he's got the voice, he's got the look, I think he'd be perfect for it. And Cornette was like, my God, you're right. He'd be perfect. So how come you didn't become my color commentator? I'm happy working with Nigel and Steve Corino, but what the heck?
What a kick in the balls, huh? Can I say balls on your program?
No, you just did. It's fine.
Well, yeah, I did. I just did twice. You know, it's really unfortunate because it was the perfect, in my view anyway, the perfect job at the perfect time. And I felt like everybody was on the same page. It would have been a dream. And alas, sometimes dreams, unfortunately, little kiddos out there, don't come true. And sometimes you're simply not in control of why. Obviously you and I and other people that were intimately involved in this affair understand what happened. And it's a perfect, a quintessential story of wrestling, politics, in my view, gone wrong. And it's sad. You know, how long has it been now since Sinclair Broadcasting bought Ring of Honor? Jesus.
Going on 4 years.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about. It's been 4 years, and it feels like yesterday when all of this stuff was happening. But, I mean, the long and short of it is that I didn't get along with certain individuals that were on the business end of Ring of Honor previous to the sale. And that led to me going away. And then when it came back around and the opportunity was presented to me by Jim, and I had spoken to you about coming on and starting this new broadcast team. Certain individuals that were now employed by Sinclair Broadcasting decided to, I don't know, throw their weight around or throw their t-shirts around or whatever you want to say, and said some things to the internal human relations or human resources, if you will, of Sinclair Broadcasting, and put the squash symbol thing. Frankly, yeah. You might know a little bit more detailed information than I ever got. I never even, outside of speaking with Joe Koff, who in the end did me right, let me say that publicly, he did me right, and I'm grateful for that, I appreciate it. I really didn't get a whole lot of straightforward information from anyone at Sinclair Broadcasting other than thank you, but no thank you.
Yeah, and my view of it, Adam, was that, okay, this was raised as an issue, and conversations were had with the offended parties, and you know, and I think Sinclair takes all human resource things seriously, and it's, you know, it's the way of the corporate world, it's the way it is.
Sure.
Okay, so yeah. It was but if the offending party is okay, then he's okay. If he's all right with it, he's all right with it. And then so we thought water had passed under the bridge after we had gotten started, and we were going to look to make a change and going to look to bring you back in. And then it was still an issue. And after we had been told it was okay. So we really had to kind of backpedal and scramble. And it was embarrassing for us. And we felt badly for you. And,
certainly.
It was just, again, it was just an unfortunate situation, but it was what it was. And so now we move forward. But what did you, I mean, I know that it was a bitter pill to swallow and very frustrating, but what did you learn from that?
Great question. And I think you hit it right on the head when you said it's a bitter pill to swallow, particularly as you mentioned, when we thought bygones were bygones and everything was good. I think the main thing that I took away from that is that we all make our own road. And what I mean when I say that is, oftentimes in life, we are not in control of the circumstances that surround us. But what we are in control of at all times, and that no one can ever take away from us, is our reaction to those surroundings. And more pointedly, if I'm in a bad situation in the workplace, as this would have been, and human resources who didn't know me from Adam, pardon the pun, decided to err on the side of stepping back out of it. They didn't know me. They had a relationship with an employee who was saying things, whether they were true or not. And they just wanted to err on the better side of judgment. And I get that. I think in the end, I think the things that precipitated everything, and this is going back years, and it's really a sad story, but going back literally 5 or 6 years, I could definitely have put myself in a position to look back on the way that I reacted to certain things, and had I had a little bit of forethought and the ability to kind of see ahead, I would have done things differently when I was younger, and that may have impacted, probably for the positive or for the better, that situation specifically. Now, am I completely at fault? Absolutely not. Am I partly at fault? Absolutely. I own that. I think I did throughout the entire process. And I just wish other people would have been a man, pardon me, and told the truth.
Yeah, and again, I think that when you were the booker for Ring of Honor, it was the business of Ring of Honor was really changing. And there were a lot of external forces, and Kerry Silken was feeling the pressure monetarily, and you guys were all doing your best to try to hold everything together, to keep it running as strongly as it had been. You had to deal with HDNet, you had to deal with Ric Flair, you had a lot of things that were thrown at you. And take me through some of that time. I know we just have a few minutes left, but I really wanted to kind of get your thoughts about that time when you were kind of at the helm creatively along with Cornette and others, but talk about that time with the HD nets and everything that was going on there. That I thought you did an excellent job. I really did. I sat back and I watched when I first came into the company, and I was kind of like, just, man, Pierce is really, he's commander of this ship here, and he's doing an awesome job. Well, what did you learn from all that?
First, I appreciate that. You know what, when I look back on things, Kev, I think that period, you know, the 5 years in total that I was with Ring of Honor on a full-time schedule, and then particularly the last 2 years when, as you said, I was running the thing, I think that was the period of time where I really grew up. And when I say that, what I mean is just those couple of situations you referred to, HGNet, dealing with Mark Cuban, the Ric Flair debacle, the other things that were happening in Ring of Honor that nobody had any idea about, and only now is coming to light, the financial situation, bounce checks, dealing with the personalities of the locker room, and real life things that you never imagined, at least I didn't, coming into that position that I was going to have to deal with. It really forced me to take a look at myself as an individual and step up and say, I've got to be a leader. I've always felt like I've been a locker room leader, but that really forced me into a position of really having to take the bull by the horns and fight some battles that that I won, fight some battles that I ended up losing. And one of those, I think, it was with me not getting that job at the end. But, you know, it makes you look at things in a real-world perspective. Pro wrestling is a wonderful vehicle for people, and if you have the ability to make a living off of it, it's a beautiful thing. But there are times that we don't talk about in this industry that are downright sad and dirty. And I don't know that I was prepared for those things coming into that position, but have really learned a lot about them and about myself in dealing with those things coming out of my Ring of Honor tenure. And you know, my 20 years or so in wrestling, I think those five in particular are going to be the ones that I look back on most fondly. And when I say that, I'm directly pointing to that locker room, because we were a family during that period of time, all dealing with the same struggles and really in it together at a time when we didn't know if we were going to have a show next week. It was really that tumultuous, and people don't really understand or realize that, how close we were to not existing.
Well, I know that the seeds that that you and Cornette and Delirious run in the school, the foundation that was laid during that period of time is really, you know, bearing fruit now for Ring of Honor. When you look at Adam Cole and Michael Elgin and Michael Bennett and all the young guys that we have developed, and you were there in the initial stages of the tryout camps that we had, and now because of those efforts, Ring of Honor is thriving and having some great success on television. So your fingerprints are on this generation as well, Adam. You know, you're not long, you're not forgotten, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, I hope not. But yeah, I look at, you mentioned two of them right there, Adam Cole and Michael Bennett. Oddly enough, those are the last two guys that I said to Kerry Silk and Hiram, you know, and to see their success and to see how they're appreciated and to have been able to sit back on other shows and talk with them about that period of time. And it's gratifying. I get to live vicariously through these guys that I knew would be great. And here they are being everything I thought they would be and more.
Yeah, they are great. So how much is left for you in the ring? I know there was a lot of speculation that you might be hanging them up after last year, but the ride continues. Give me a look in the crystal ball and tell me where you think this is all going to go.
A hell of a lot sooner than later, I can tell you that. You know, I wish if I could go back and change that. You know, I hurt my neck in 2011 and went on this awesome tour that took me all over the planet, and I call it the One Last Ride Tour, and what a poor choice of words, because I got healthy. I was able to get healthy in a situation that I didn't think I was going to. And you know how this industry is. When you find some success, and quite frankly, when people continue to offer the money, I mean, why wouldn't I take it? If I'm not putting myself at any substantial and tangible real risk or any more risk than I would be ordinarily anyway, it seems foolish to walk away from something that I've spent literally more than half of my life falling in love with. You know, I mean, that said, all good things come to an end. I'll be 36 in June, and things don't heal or recuperate as fast as they once did. I'm sure you could attest to that, but I don't know. I certainly have given a lot of thought lately in terms of the things that I've done outside of the ring, this Padres thing being one of those, my interaction with WWE last year and being a coach and trainer at the Development Center for a week and that relationship and making sure that it's cultivating and moving forward, which it is. I'm thankful. I mean, who knows where I'm going to be? You know, 6 months. Who knows? Who's to say? I mean, who knows? I might pop up in Ring of Honor. You never know.
Well, I would love to see you in Ring of Honor, and I know as I'm kind of thumbing through the schedule here, I know we've got Milwaukee, Chicago return in August. That'd be nice. That'd be good to see that. So there's some opportunities there. Hey, real quick, and this will be my last question. WWE developmental. I've been critical of them because they have all these resources, and yet we don't see a lot of guys on television in main event scenes. Now we do, but a lot of them came through Ring of Honor. So sure. Is it that the ultimate decision maker, Triple H, that he's not there? Because I know he's got tremendous coaches. They got tremendous people running things in NXT. They've got the beautiful new facility, and I know the guys are doing the work. What's the missing piece? What's holding some of those guys back from opportunity?
Great question. And everything you said is spot on, having been there and seen the operation and the moving pieces doing what they do. It is an absolutely breathtaking place to be a professional wrestler. I was absolutely blown away when I first walked into that place at what resources are available to these guys. And you want to talk about top-notch talent and guys that really are only scratching the surface of what I think they're capable of. I mean, there are literally 80 people down there that could main event any independent anywhere in the world right now, guaranteed. And a lot of those guys have come through the doors and of Ring of Honor and other places. So when you look at the landscape of WWE, I think you need to, you know, obviously, as they say, shit rolls downhill. So there's ultimately one decision maker who's going to decide what he thinks is going to sell to that demographic. And I think the main issue from my perspective is just the availability of opportunity. You know, there are only so many spots. There's only so much time on the clock. You know, Raw is 3 hours now. Some say it's too long. Some say it's just right. But even in that block of time, Kevin, how many guys can you put on a television show and expect them to get over?
Right. That's just
it's limited.
Yeah.
It's limited.
Time to get over is not necessarily match time, because look at what Daniel Bryan and Hunter did in the last segment on this past week's show, where they sold, you know, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of buys for WrestleMania.
Absolutely right. But yeah, I think that's the main thing. You know, you only got a certain amount of time to block out and give to people, and that invariably is going to leave however many, you know, sitting on the sideline that could easily fill in and do a hell of a job. I mean, I think we all know that. Just seeing some of the guys that are there, the guys that came through Ring of Honor that I know intimately.
Right.
I mean, all they need is a chance and an opportunity, and they can hit a grand slam. But getting that chance, it's a hell of a lot harder than people think.
Yeah, and I think that's the frustration as I sit back and armchair quarterback the thing, you know, and it's frustrating for me to see those guys and all the good work of the coaches, you know, kind of sometimes go for naught. But anyway, it is what it is, and that's not my fight, so I feel good that I don't have to make those decisions. But one thing I am glad is that you and I got a chance to talk. Let me ask you this about this San Diego Padres thing. Is this strictly on your talent? Is there a fan vote? Is there something that we can do to help?
Yeah, as I understand it, once they get down to a final 30, and it's been a little bit difficult to kind of gauge what they're doing. What I think has happened is they had a group of people, they broke it down to 20, then they broke it down to 10, and then they got a bunch of other entrants. So now I am part of what's the official final 50 who's going to be then cut down. And once they cut it down, which I guess we're not really finalists, but don't ask me. I'm just here, you know. I'm just doing what I'm told. Once they break it down to that final 30, there will be a fan interactive element to the process. And once that happens, if I'm fortunate enough to get to that point, you guys will see me blowing that up via my wonderful social media, like everybody else. Just trying to get a job.
That's it, man. We got to keep you fair and honest here, and make sure that Mama and the two babies are liking what they're seeing, because we got to make sure that we take care of them.
Yeah, there's nothing more important in my world, that's for sure.
That's it. All right. Hey, listen, Adam, let's not be strangers. Let's do this again. We just scratched the surface. I got a lot more questions I didn't get to. I'd want to ask you about Cabana and Punk and stories from the good old days and where you see this industry headed, and maybe we'll talk somewhere down the road. Hopefully I'll be seeing you this summer in the Midwest.
Oh, yeah, sounds great. We got a lot to chew on at a future date, and consider it a date, Mr. Kelly. I appreciate you.
Yes, and listen, if I do see you, can you please break out that blue Latin-themed shirt that you wore that one time in Philly that you had picked up at the outlet store next door?
I don't know how many people actually remember that. It was a full, if you remember, it was a full jumpsuit. I had the pants to go with it.
It was amazing. It was Ricky Ricardo all in one. It was a beautiful thing, and you were a manly man who could pull off wearing a suit of clothes like that. Let me tell you something. That was awesome.
I don't know if I go that far, but it was comfortable. Let me say that. And cheap. I think I got it for like $24 at Foreman Mills right next to ECW Arena. Beautiful.
That's the best thing about that place of reopening is we all hope Foreman Mills is still there. All right, my friend. Listen, take care of yourself, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you, sir.
All right, so more here on the Kevin Kelly Show. Thanks to our guest, Adam Pearce. Great guest, had a lot to say. And that's a guy you can definitely learn a lot from. So we roll on here. And of course, Ashley Six, cancer survivor, getting back into the ring. He'll be our guest here on the Kevin Kelly Show in 2 weeks' time. We're also lining up. We also might have another special interview on that show, talking to my buddy Joe Dombrowski, putting the finishing touches on the Zach Gowen DVD. So we might have him on there if indeed that DVD is going to be released and ready for WrestleMania weekend. If not, if it gets pushed back, then we will have him on a later show. But obviously, the big news coming out of Raw this week was the announcement, that, and it's a logical announcement, was that if Triple... I thought, like, okay, Triple H versus Daniel Bryan. If Bryan wins, he's in the main event as now a triple threat. What if Hunter wins? What happens to him? So you just squash the Yes Movement and that's it? Nope. Now if he wins, he's in the world title match. So we add a little jeopardy there. And that's what they're now fighting for. A triple threat main event in WrestleMania has never been done, JR.
WrestleMania 20, well, unless you're trying to be facetious, but in WWE's world, it was never a triple threat. But WrestleMania 20 was Chris Benoit versus Triple H versus Shawn Michaels.
Now, why did they do that?
Because he never existed. Actually, they've gotten a little bit better. They don't outwardly promote him anymore, but in the network, he's left in everything intact. They just don't really talk about it.
Yeah. So that'll be an opportunity, and I think it'll be a similar moment.
Yeah, I guess, Kevin, I wanted to take a second here because I'm going to apologize. I was obviously wrong with the CM Punk thing, unless I was right and then something changed. But I really thought he'd be back for WrestleMania, and it looks like he is not going to be. But with that little bit of sadness also comes a little bit of excitement, Kevin Kelly, because it was right here in episode 4 that your boy accurately predicted this entire scenario for WrestleMania.
You know, you just can't let anything lie there because I was about to get to that.
I don't trust you that you were gone. I was waiting for you to go on to TNA or something, you know? I had to jump in.
I don't think I've mentioned that once on this show.
I thought you were going to start previewing the Impact this week, and I wanted to make sure I caught you before you did.
No, slow my roll. I know what you mean. No, you were the man, and you got it absolutely right. So recap for everyone exactly what you said as best to your memory.
I said I was confident that Daniel Bryan would leave WrestleMania as world champion, and I thought they would have a scenario like they did at WrestleMania 10,
yep,
where he would have to defeat Triple H, and then he would earn a spot in the title match later in the night.
At least it was set up ahead of time, not like that hokey deal with Hogan.
Right. And that's what I thought they were going to do. I thought they were going to use Hogan. But I like, you know, the way they ended up doing it with Bryan, bringing the fans out. That was a really cool moment. Taking over, you know, Occupy Raw, whatever the hell they did. It was a memorable moment. It's one that they'll show on all their DVDs and Raw specials for years to come. And I thought Triple H the last 2 weeks has actually really turned it up and been really good. He had a long run where he's supposed to be a heel, and they were doing the kind of the milquetoast heel thing, but he's really amped it up over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, he was in true cerebral assassin form last week. And again, there's just something that's so, you really see the height differential between he and Bryan. It is stark, you know, when you see those two, you know, face to face like that, and Hunter's really got to like bend over and to emphasize that point of how much bigger he is. Mm-hmm. And he's got the microphone, and Bryan's just standing there kind of with his hands on his hips, like taking it.
Man,
so
Triple H bent over. If I didn't use my Criscolo quote of jokes in the first segment, I would have been all over that one.
He got his panties in a twist.
Let me ask you. He wishes those handcuffs were in. All right. This is. I want to ask you these predictions. I'm going to ask you on this episode, and then again the week, because we're recording the week of WrestleMania. So we'll ask again where you stand. Will Daniel Bryan defeat Triple H?
Yes.
Do you see any chance that it's a double DQ or some kind of shit schmoz and they all end up in the main event? It becomes a four-man match.
No.
Okay. Does Daniel Bryan win because Triple H dominates him and he slips out a banana peel and Bryan gets a roll-up and steals the win?
Yes. And then I think he flattens him.
Oh, there's 100, no doubt in my mind, yeah.
After the roll-up pin, first of all, he's going to get his ass kicked for 90% of the match, Bryan is. He's going to roll him up, sneak a win, and then all hell is going to be unleashed on Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
And he is going to be limping down to that ring.
I think they may even do a tease. It'll depend on when Triple H Bryan happens. If it's earlier in the night, I think they'll do a lot of teasing backstage that he may not even make it to the main event.
Four-hour show. You got to have it on, I think, in the first hour.
Right. You got to have it fairly early. I'm thinking third or fourth off the top. And they already started. I don't know. You know, there's a rumor out there that he tore his shoulder up or something. There was our buddy Roger Morissette came over to me all excited. He's the Marquis of the Marks. He comes over with his Bleacher Report fucking team stream that Daniel Bryan's shoulder's torn. He's all excited about it. And
why is he excited about that?
He's taking on this whole thing because he just got back into wrestling like this year. He came to Pittsburgh with us. Loved Ring of Honor. Loved the Rumble. And he's always kind of liked Batista when he used to watch here and there. So he was all excited thinking, oh, everyone's going to love Batista.
So he was the guy, huh?
And the Rumble broke him. And now he's taking it upon himself to be the asshole and do everything he can to root against Bryan and for Batista. So we went to Bonehead's wing bar for Elimination Chamber, and he was clapping when Batista
cheap
won.
Cheap plug.
It has to be. And
Bonehead's wing bar is where?
In West Warwick, Rhode Island, Main Street.
I heard good things about Bonehead.
Oh, so good. I can't wait for you to come to Providence so we can go.
That's awesome. All right, so Roger was there. And
so anyway, my point is that Roger comes over to me all excited that Daniel Bryan's got his toy. I think they're just setting up what's going to be the show-long injury thing with Bryan. Triple H is going to bust his shoulder in that match or after the match, and then they'll tease that he can't compete in the main event, and then he comes limping out, like you said.
That's what I see. Okay, more questions, more predictions.
Well, those are my main ones right now.
Oh, that was it?
Well, does he win the world title? Did we ask that one already? Okay.
I think he does.
Does he pin Batista or Randy Orton? I think you have him pin Orton, because then you can have him and Batista.
Yeah, well, I look at it two ways. I think if he beats Orton, it's not clean. It's not dirty, but it's not clean, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that Orton's got a bitch. He's always great when he's got a bitch,
because
he's very smart logically. I think if you beat Batista, then it's like, okay, now Batista's been beaten.
Right,
Orton can drop the ball and lose the belt and have a bitch. It still leaves Batista unbeaten, so Bryan to go through him to eventually get back to Orton, where he'll probably wind up dropping the belt. But that would be fine, because then he would have a long run with it.
I mean, I'm thinking of something where like Batista hits a Batista bomb on Orton, Bryan comes in and kicks him out of the ring and then hits the yes lock or something and Orton taps. It'll be something along those lines where Batista, you know, caused the move to cause Orton to lose. That's Orton's bitch right there. And then you set up Batista-Bryan rematches. I still think Batista ends up with the belt at some time around SummerSlam when his movie comes out.
Ugh. That's me throwing up.
About Batista being champion or about the movie?
Ugh. Either or.
The movie's supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah, good for him.
All right. Well, not because of him. Just that's what the comic geeks tell me. Ben Morris and the crew.
Hey, by the way, I got a brand new, well, not brand new, but new to me, 2011 Ford Explorer this week from the folks at Bob Ruth Ford here in Dillsburg.
Talk about cheap plugs. Go ahead.
Wow. What a sweet ride. What a great staff. They're on Route 15 in Dillsburg. And check them out online, bobruthford.com. Thank you. Cheap plug. As long as we're going that route.
Right? It's plug-a-mania. Does McGinn have anything he wants to plug?
I have a comic book I'm reading.
that sounds nothing like Dan McGinn.
Shut up. It sounds exactly like him.
Any other matches at Mania you're excited for, Kev?
I am. Well, since the Shield turned, I'm kind of excited what they do with the Kane and cohorts, Kane and company. versus the Shield.
Do you like that they're keeping the Shield together?
Yeah, for now.
Right.
I think now you can start to splinter them off.
Yeah, and after Mania. You don't need it leading into Mania, so they don't get lost in the shuffle.
No. And I guess I'm interested in Cena and Bray Wyatt.
It's a pretty good build-up.
Yeah.
Any chance Bray Wyatt wins?
Oh, sure. I think, let's look at this. Here's a prediction. If Cena loses, then Bryan wins.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think. Bryan wins the belt.
Well, I think Bryan's winning either way. I don't think they go through all this and put him in the match and have him lose. I don't. Why even do it at that point?
Mm.
If he was going to lose, they would have had him and Triple H on the undercard, and that'd be it.
Yeah, I guess. I guess. Cena could be up in this, and it's not going to kill. I don't think it's going to kill either guy, either way.
Oh, Cena could lose from now to the next 4 years. It's not going to matter. He's won enough.
Do you care about care about Taker and Brock?
Well, I like both guys, so I can't say like I don't care about them. I think they could have been better use for Brock Lesnar here at this show, and I'm a little bit afraid for Taker that he
That's
may get
what
hurt.
That's my thing. I watch with one eye closed. You know what I mean? Like one covering my eyes partially. Because I get concerned with him.
Well, you go from a really safe guy in Punk that works a smart match last year. He hasn't wrestled in a year, and now he goes against a guy with Brock who's not. I mean, I don't. Well, you probably know better than me. You're in the business there, but is there any word about Brock? Is he a sloppy guy? Is he or is he a pretty safe worker? Even for a guy that works pretty stiff.
I never heard. Yeah, that's what I heard. And but again, I think that there is that respect factor between. Mm-hmm. Lesnar and Taker. I think he'll make sure that it's good.
And you've never heard anything about Brock doing anything unprofessional in the ring. So, I mean, like I said, I think there's a friendship there, and he'll take care of him. I mean, outside
right
of the ring, unprofessional up and down at times. But in the ring, you never hear about him taking liberties or doing anything stupid.
No. Absolutely not. And so, yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm excited because I know we've got... That's going to be a busy weekend because we've got two shows in New Orleans for Ring of Honor.
Mm-hmm.
Friday, Super Card of Honor and the Alero Center. And then Saturday afternoon, we're coming right back. And we announced the Ladder War.
Yes.
So I'm excited about that with Adam Cole versus Jay Briscoe. Now, Justin, you review the Ring of Honor shows.
I do.
Every week. And I wanted I wanted to get your thoughts on this. The Ladder War, you like that? Do you like that scenario, the way that's all unfolded?
Yeah, I mean, I think it makes perfect sense. You got two guys. It reminded me a lot of like Razor Ramon and Shawn Michaels in 94. Both guys have the title. One guy kind of never lost it, came back with his own version. And I thought Briscoe's had a lot of, valid criticisms. And it was good to finally see this match. Because I feel like Cole can never be the champion until he finally beats Briscoe in this match. So I think it's a good setup.
Mm-hmm. And you like the new team of Rayro and Hansen?
Oh, I love it.
That tickled your innards. Is that what it did for you, or what did it do for you?
Anyone that listens to our show or reads our stuff knows I'm a fan of the Hosses, and this is a Hoss team up and down. I think they're gonna get their chemistry down. I thought this first match a little shaky, trying to work the kinks out, but I think they're both really talented and really enjoyable in the ring. So once they kind of get a formula down, it'll be interesting to see.
We'll see. And the main event in Dayton this Saturday, which is going to be exciting, is Adam Cole, Mike Bennett with Maria Kanellis. Do you like that pairing?
I do. Makes a lot of sense.
Yep, they're going to be wrestling the Briscoes. So a little preview of Super Card of Honor.
You know, I wonder how much you're involved in the booking now, Kevin. You were around in the Gang Wars in 97, and now we're kind of getting a lot of the Gang Wars back here in Ring of Honor. Seems like a lot of the guys are pairing off.
Obviously, yeah, that's where it's coming from, directly from the golden era of the Gang Wars.
DOA coming back.
Veriquas, DOA.
Truth Commission.
See, how could you go wrong with the truth? I was part of the naming of the Veriquas. I'll have you know this.
The individual names or the name of the group?
The name of the group.
Okay.
And we didn't know what to call these guys. We brought up Jason, who... was of Puerto Rican descent,
mm-hmm.
and he came up from the mailroom. He also, like, took care of the gym and did personal training. He was a big, jacked-up dude. What a nice guy. Very soft-spoken, very nice. So tell us a little bit about, you know, Puerto Rican heritage, because we're trying to name this group and it's four Puerto Rican guys and we don't know what to call them. And well, what are some of the names? And they start reading off the list and they're horrible names, you know, like the Chupacabras and the, the Nuggets.
I worked out a review this week just for you, by the way.
Very nice. Very nice. What else? I can't remember. So anyway, he's like, well, you know, they call Puerto Rican guys Boricuas. You know, they're from, oh, we're like, what? So then we started playing with that. Los Boricuas. Oh, okay. And I guess Savio had the idea they should wear like the wife beater t-shirts and the
dress like
slacks.
Ice cream men.
Yeah, they're fighting out of ice cream. Los Boricuas. So that was fun. And yeah, that was in the little conference room that we had in, on the second floor there, where a lot of stupid brainstorming happened, but it was a lot of fun. Yeah, so we were part of the naming. No, the Gang Wars was not the influence, I think, with Ring of Honor this go-round. I think it's pretty logical, though, when you're a 205-pound world champion like Adam Cole, you got to have some backup. So, especially with Elgin getting some backup now.
I was going to say, I like that. I like Elgin coming out with Hanson Rowe. That was cool. I was looking for, you know, I usually try and put a picture of my recap. I was looking for the one of, I couldn't find it online. Get Ring of Honor's website. You're gonna get on this, Kevin. You know, they should have a nice picture gallery. It's impossible. It took me 10 minutes to try and find pictures from the show.
What are you saying about the Ring of Honor website? Spill it. Say it.
No, I just, it could be a little bit more
it sucks.
Professional looking. Yes.
It sucks. Right?
Yeah. I wanted a picture from... I want to be able to go. You guys live on your live event business, right? I mean, this is TV is there to get people to the house. It's a very old school mentality.
Right on.
I want to be able to go. You only go to so many cities, right? So why can't you have a drop down list of all the cities with galleries of pictures and results? I want to just be able to go to Pittsburgh and see all the pictures from Pittsburgh. I want to be able to go to Philly and see all the pictures from Philly. I wanted that. That picture was awesome of Rowan Hansen standing in the background and Elgin standing in front of them. And like talking, like that was an awesome picture, and like that would have told the story of the recap perfectly. And I could not find that picture anywhere.
Did you get a screen grab from TV?
No, look, I'm not gonna go that crazy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think the website. Listen, the website has its challenges. I think it was poorly built, so they got to throw it out and get a new one. Do it. Agreed. No argument from me on that.
Oh, this is such a nice picture. I would have liked it.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was a tremendous visual. And then with Maria and Cole and Bennett, you know, slinking up the ramp after Bennett jumped mm-hmm. him from behind, the three of them standing on the rampway. That's good business right there. It's like I watch the shows live and then I just go back through for like the real money segments and I'm like, right. Okay, did this do its job? Oh, this match was good. Hey, this match was good. I like this match. I forgot how good this match was. I say that a lot of times.
And Bennett was good too.
Oh, with Tommaso and Jay Lethal?
Yes.
No surprise there, right?
No.
Damn, those guys are good.
I love, and I mentioned this in the recap too, but I love how Tommaso's like, he always goes to the outside, but he uses it in a way that it's like part of his strategy. It's not just like brawling. Like, he has all these moves that he uses on the floor. So it's always like part of his game plan to get the guy out there and hit all these moves that he does. So I always like that. It's very unique.
20 count in Ring of Honor, I think, makes all the difference in the world for giving the guys a bigger platform to play on. And if you think about it, instead of having an 18 by 18 square or 20 by 20 square, you now have up to 35, 40 feet mm-hmm. to play with. So that really can add a lot to what anybody wants to do. Very exciting. Yeah, probably not that much, probably 30 feet. So 30 by 30, let's say. But yeah, it gives a lot more room to play out there. So
I think you're going Michael Cole on us for a minute. The 9,000 pound steps being thrown on him.
9,000 pound steps.
The 17 ton gravestone.
They're heavy, but they don't weigh that much. All right. We have time for trending stories or what?
Oh, we always get time for trending stories. We got four of them. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's do this. All right, Kev, I think you know where we are headed with this story here.
It's my favorite show.
It is?
Well, that's Twilight Zone.
So, well, I'm surprised you've kind of had it with the whole Malaysia story. That's where I'm headed with this. Now, we talked about it briefly before, but I wanted to get into some of the theories behind it.
Oh, okay.
From you. And maybe this is something we can have your buddy Joe Dabrowski on, the king of the conspiracy theories. What do you think happened, Kevin Kelly? Let's go there.
I think the plane was favorably hijacked. I think it was flown by the pilot to, I'm going to say, Pakistan. And everybody's cell phone was taken and all communications were shut down and nobody's saying nothing to nobody.
So you think all these people are alive?
I think so.
Think they're just in a cave somewhere in Pakistan?
Or in prison or in a room hanging out. You know? That's what I think. I don't think the plane crashed. I think the that depends. Do you believe the other theory that the pilot was disgruntled?
See, that's an interesting one. Because that opens up all the theories of where the hell it could be. It could be like Antarctica. It could be, it's like a million places it could be if that was the case. I feel like if it was a disgruntled pilot, we would have heard something by now. Like he would have demanded something. I think it's more likely to have been hijacked and just taken somewhere. Like I guess I had to be a pretty knowledgeable hijacker for them to get off the grid like that and completely, you know, fly low enough to.
And a 777 is not, you know, is not your 2-seat Cessna.
Right.
You got to know what you're doing. And that's not to say that people can't learn how to fly or a pilot couldn't be. But again, where were the calls for distress, the 911 calls like we got in, you know, the tragedy of 9/11? Where was that?
Right. Because you wonder how quickly. It was so maybe the disgruntled pilot thing is more likely because it's more likely maybe that people didn't know. If you got someone busting through into the cockpit and taking over the plane, odds are someone could get a message out before, you know, phones are taken or signals are jammed, something this time there. But if they don't know what's going on until it's too late, maybe that's part of it.
You know who's pissed is Vladimir Putin.
Yeah, right.
Right? Because he's making all these moves and he can't get on the front page. He can't get any TV time.
He's playing Risk.
He shoots the big angle, right? He turns heel and he can't get on the freaking tube because his show keeps getting preempted. Imagine that. You're a wrestling promoter back in the day and you shoot this big angle on television and you got to draw money at the houses this week with it and then your show gets preempted.
Yeah, it's called TNA.
I don't even know what that is.
The whole thing. Is this the craziest story you've witnessed in your 67 years on Earth?
Shut up. What, the Malaysian airline?
Yeah.
Gosh, I don't know. I don't know. There's more weird stuff all the time. And don't get me started with conspiracy theories, because I'll start to really get in trouble. You know, because I've studied some of these things. I've got some friends that are conspiracy theorists. And I start to look at some of these things, some of these popular conspiracy theories that are out there, and I go, oh, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Sometimes I don't want to know.
We'll have to, that'll be the episode I don't show up is when you and Dabrowski just do conspiracy theories. For two
well,
hours.
You know, that could be another, that could be a show all in and of itself.
A spinoff? The Dabrowski theory?
I think that's how we expand the place to be nation.
Yeah, that might go elsewhere. It may go on ringofhonor.com, that show.
Why are you talking about it like that? Do you know you ever heard of Coast to Coast AM?
Yeah, is that the alien stuff?
The Art Bell show, which is now George Norrie. You know, that's syndicated on like 500 stations across the country.
Good. Can I read
so
that?
you don't believe in any of that stuff?
When we have the Place of the Nation Sirius radio channel, we'll have plenty of room on the schedule at 3 a.m. for the Kevin Kelly, Joe Dabrowski Conspiracy Hour.
I'll be sleeping.
The Jesse Ventura show.
Well, wait a minute now. Jesse Ventura, right?
Yeah.
He's, whether you believe him or not, is it not worth conversation? You asked me, the question you asked me, what do you think happened? So you're like, Kevin, what's your conspiracy theory? You asked me that. That's how this whole conversation got started.
I don't remember.
And now you're
poo-pooing. Now that's a whole conspiracy against me.
Now you're poo-pooing the whole idea of conspiracies.
Look, I'm okay with some conspiracies. I'm okay with some. I still don't buy the Montreal one.
Well, again, there is. I don't either. I don't think that there was a conspiracy, but the fact that there is conversation about it and there is doubt, I think leads to exploring those conversations. That's all it is. Hmm. If you believe it, great. If you don't believe it, that's okay too. Nobody says one person was right or wrong because they believed a certain way.
Except for Dan McGinn.
Again, it's another thing, like that other three-letter word you said before. I don't know what this Dan McGinn is of what you speak. All right, give me trending story number two.
Kevin Kelly, today is a great day for science, humanity, and Andrei Dmitrievich Lind, one of the main authors of the inflationary universe theory that was confirmed today. You can watch.
Wait a minute, Andre the Giant was in charge of that theory?
Ah, 3 years is a long time to be champion. Kuo and his colleagues were the ones who got the first images of gravitational waves or ripples in space-time, otherwise known as the first tremors of the Big Bang.
Was Scott Criscolo there for those tremors?
It was him falling off the couch. Why do you set me up? And then he gets mad at me.
I love it.
Oh, you get me in
so
trouble.
So easy. Pull you right down the bow here.
You get me in trouble.
Take my hand. I'm going to lead you down.
In 4.5 weeks when he listens to this show, he's going to be like, oh, you had to make another comment. That's all right.
Yeah, he was pissed last week about episode one.
Oh, he was like, what? Yeah, because he just listened to it. He's an advocate for the site. All right, what do you think? Tremors, Big Bang.
Sheldon Cooper. As a Christian,
yes,
I don't believe in the Big Bang.
How about his edge?
Poor Christian, he's out there this week working hard on commentary. He couldn't get a word in edgewise.
No, he couldn't. It was yeah. This guy is.
Don't they just mute one of their microphones? Don't care who it is. Just let Cole do the interview, do that segment with just the special guest.
How about King? Can they just mute him and just pretend let him think he's talking and just none of us have to hear it?
He could do like the JR and Dr. Death version.
Oh my God.
When he had his own desk and his own show.
It was one of the greatest JR lines of all time, and Cole standing in front of him, and he's like, or behind him, he's like, I can't see. I got this big cowboy hat in front of me. He goes, oh, if you're not careful, you're going to have a big cowboy boot up your ass. One of the best lines.
It was a shoot, dude.
You want a good laugh at Michael Cole, Kevin Kelly? I know you do. Go watch Royal Rumble 2002.
Yeah.
There's an interview with him and Stephanie, and he's rail thin, and he's got this like T-shirt on with the sleeves rolled up like he's the fucking Fonz. And, like, I don't know if he's trying to show off his guns or what he's doing. And he's got, the highlight of his frosted hair, like, the peak of the frosted tips of Michael Cole. And it was just it was not a guy who should have probably been, like, one of the faces of the World Wrestling Federation at that point. Just a rough look for Michael Cole. So
he got on the gas or something for a little while, I think.
I think he was, like, working out with Taz or some shit. He got huge. And then Taz just stopped working out and kept going. But,
he and Taz had big heat for a long time.
Are they still not talking? I know they were like good friends for a while, weren't they?
They were. I think they've probably patched things up.
Because they had that radio show and everything. And
yeah.
Them on commentary, that was the best Michael Cole ever was, I thought, was with him and Taz on SmackDown. There was a point there where they were just excellent at getting the storyline over and kind of making it like a real, kind of almost like you guys doing Ring of Honor now, like a lot of the real, making it feel like a real fight. Remember they used to do the tail of the tape and all that stuff?
That's right.
Yeah.
Me and Carino having fun.
It's true.
That's your boy right there, at King Carino. We got to give Carino a plug here for Twitter.
Always a plug for Mr. Carino. He's my man.
He's doing a great job.
All right, ready for a trending topic number three?
Oh, I'm so ready. Wait, four?
Three. We only done two so far. We got two more. This is a good one, though. The highly anticipated next installment of the Star Wars franchise will be
Nexus?
Next installment.
Oh, next installment. I thought the Nexus was coming back.
Wade Barrett. Will be set 30 years after Episode 6, Return of the Jedi, Walt Disney Co.'s chief executive officer Bob Iger said on Tuesday at the company's annual shareholders meeting.
Disney, Bob Iger? He owes me money. Anyway, go ahead.
Everyone owes you money. Disney purchased Star Wars production company Lucasfilm for $4.05 billion in 2012. Return of the Jedi was the third film in the trilogy. Came out in 1983. So now, Kevin, the story's going to take us 30 years in the future, and it was confirmed that R2-D2 will be involved. He'll be back. The rumors swirling on who will return. Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher. Billy Dee Williams back in the news on Dancing with the Stars. Maybe he gets in the movie.
I was watching his old crippled ass trying to get around there. I'd look sad.
When are you going to be on Dancing with the Stars?
Never.
Come on.
I'd have to become a much bigger celebrity than I am now to be on that show, let me tell you.
Are you kidding me? There's definitely people on your level of celebrity that have been on that show.
I get surprised when I tell people I have almost like 23,000 Twitter followers, and I just go, that's 23,000. They're like, really? You almost have 23,000 Twitter followers? I'm like, you must not be in show business, because that's, you know, potato, small potatoes compared to some other folks.
Yeah. Well, it's a can of spam that comes with that. But that, I mean, Chris Jericho did it. Why can't you?
He's a big star. He's a former Undisputed World Champion.
I want to see Kevin Kelly and Cheryl Burke out there on Dancing with the Stars.
Who's that?
She was a chick with Jericho.
Oh.
She's doing all right, if you take a look. Why don't you look her up while we talk?
They're not hurting for talent on that show.
No. Aaron Andrews is the host.
Is what's his face off?
Who?
The dude, the AFV guy. No. Tom Bergeron.
Oh no, he's still on. They kicked out I forgot who they kicked out. Well, the other Brooke Burke is gone.
Yeah, she didn't add too much.
No, Aaron Andrews is probably a bigger name at this point anyway.
There you go.
My girl Maria Menounos is on that show.
She's nice.
Oh, I love Maria. Can you get her on? I bet she'd come on.
I bet she would.
She loves wrestling. I've been trying to get Chris Colo tried to get her on our show and he got rebuffed, but I bet you could do it.
You know who I'll go through?
Karina?
No, Maria Kanellis.
She knows Maria Menounos?
They're very good friends.
I'll tell you, if there's one girl that gets me more starry than Maria Kanellis, it's Maria Menounos.
Really?
I was front and center, right on the side. I had a beautiful view of her induction speech for Bob Backlund, and the fans were very rude to her, and her speech was the best one. She talked about the history and everything about it. It was awesome, her speech about Bob Backlund.
Mm-hmm.
I hate wrestling fans. The fucking worst. I like her, though. I like her. She cares about things. That's why I like when people care about things. So I don't like with the too cool for school people. I like the people that generally give a shit about stuff, and she does. She likes her sports. She likes her wrestling. She does her entertainment stuff, and she throws herself into it.
I thought she did a fine job at WrestleMania. What was that, 2 years ago?
Yeah, she worked hard.
That was very good. Hard to imagine that was 2 years ago. Gosh, time goes so fast.
It's absurd.
All right, so Star Wars 30 years into the future with R2-D2. And if you had, if you had the babyface pecking order, it would be Luke Skywalker.
Mm-hmm.
And then Han Solo. Like, Luke Skywalker was Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah, baby.
And Han Solo was Magnum.
I'm going to take this lightsaber, cut up Ric Flair's robe.
And then R2-D2 and C-3PO, they were the Rock and Roll Express.
Todd Tom's baby on the planet Alderaan.
If Dusty could have done the hard time speech talking about the planet Alderaan instead of working 30 years in a factory, get kicked in the ass on your way out the door.
Leia may be my sister, baby, but Sweet Sapphire is my woman.
That's mixing movie genres. That's like this talking about, you know, Harrison Ford and, you know,
Big Bomba's
Witness
house?
Or something. Oh. That's the no, that one doesn't work. The Hard Times promo. I'll break that down for everybody 1 week.
Okay.
One of the best.
Oh yeah.
Just completely off the cuff though.
He's amazing, Dusty.
It wasn't just something that nobody wrote that. It wasn't written down. He's made it up. Had probably had it in mind, but thought, you know, went out there and spoke, microphone in front of his face, go. There you go.
How do they not have him in the booth on Raw or SmackDown? You have this guy on your payroll for the last 10 years. And he's done like some NXT and that's it.
I don't know.
God, he's so good.
It's a looks business. They got rid of Jim Ross because of his looks.
Fucking stupid.
Eh, well.
Look at King. He looks like a wax. He looks in the fucking wax museum.
He's the king. And happy birthday belated to my good buddy Lance Russell. 88 years old this week. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Happy birthday, Lance.
Yeah, what an awesome dude. Chance to work with him in Memphis. All right, story number four.
One last story, then we're out.
Yeah.
Kevin, unfortunately, bullies, sir, at Grayson Bruce's school were not very nice to him. He needed a backpack, and he picked one based on his favorite show, My Little Pony.
Yeah.
The bullies did not share his taste in television. The decades-old franchise, current incarnation is My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic, in which the titular characters, Laud, the importance of friendship. Most of the characters on the show are girls. Most of the toys are girly. Surprisingly, I found stuff like this, he said, referring to his blue backpack. but bullies targeted him because of the accessory. Grayson says kids are taking it a little too far, punching me, pushing me down, calling me horrible names, stuff that should not happen. The school solution was to tell Grayson to leave the backpack at home, saying it was a distraction and a trigger for bullying.
Right.
Grayson's mother disagrees. Says a lunchbox is a trigger for bullying, is saying like a short skirt is a trigger for rape. It's flawed logic and doesn't make any sense.
Well, you have to punish the bullies, but you also have to, you also got to have a brain in your head. You have to have a brain in your head, lady. And if your kid is getting bullied, there is a very simple solution. Have him lay low. Don't do anything. Don't allow him to make bad decisions that are going to infringe upon his health and safety. Don't put it all on the school. And the equating this to a short skirt leading to rape is absolutely ridiculous. Completely asinine. And the mother has to take some responsibility in the way she parents her child and teaching the child to make good decisions. Mm-hmm. So bad job on the mom. Bad job on the school. You know, you got to punish the bullies. Don't say take away the backpack. That's just antagonizing the bullies. Why not punish the bullies?
Right.
But the mom has got to do a better job to say, listen, I love you, honey. But this My Little Pony thing, that's just going to get you more heat. So you better 86 that.
A lot of heat. The I've just been kind of brought into the consciousness of the My Little Pony world. Someone got my daughter. She loves these little like mini board books. They come like 12 to a box. So now this is her third set, and someone got her My Little Pony. She's never had seen it, but now she keeps wanting to read it. A little creepy, I'm not going to lie. I prefer the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse ones, and not the My Little Pony ones are very bizarre.
I'm so happy I had boys. I was talking to my 18-year-old earlier on, and he said, I had three main themes in my childhood. First was Blue's Clues, then was Toy Story, then was Sonic the Hedgehog. And I'm like, yeah, you're exactly right. That's pretty much it, you know? Well, Blue's Clues when he was a toddler, an infant toddler, and then Toy Story, and then Sonic.
Well, I'm working hard because you know, she can like her girly stuff. It's fine. I've already got her very into basketball. Like, she's already been to like 10 PC games with me since she was, I think, started. Maybe she was like 9 months old. She came to her first game, and when they're on now, she knows it and she follows along well enough that she can kind of watch the game and know when they're doing well. So I'm on a start. I'm on the road.
She agree with Auburn's Bruce Pearl hire?
She hated it.
Really?
Yeah. In fact, she threw a hell of a temper tantrum tonight just because of that.
Wow.
Not because she wanted a cookie. It has to do with Bruce Pearl, I'm sure.
Well, now's a good time, a better time than now. I cannot think for a quick timeout. Mm-hmm. We'll have your questions. We'll play some games, fun and hijinks and more. Continuing here on the Kevin Kelly Show on the Place to Be Nation. But right now, timeout for a Sports Flash.
All right, I'm Justin Rosero. This is your Kevin Kelly Show Sports Flash, brought to you by Bonehead's Wing Bar, West Warwick, Rhode Island, Main Street. Colts owner Jim Irsay has voluntarily checked himself into a highly respected facility to undergo substance abuse treatment. Irsay faces 4 felony counts of possession of a controlled substance after being arrested on suspicion of intoxicated driving late Sunday. If convicted, he could face 6 months to 3 years in prison on each count. Previously in 2002, Irsay acknowledged publicly being dependent on painkillers, which he was able to overcome through rehab. For the 6th consecutive year, President Barack Obama filled out his March Madness bracket for ESPN cameras in a special entitled Barackatology. This year, the commander-in-chief predicts Louisville, Florida, Arizona, and Michigan State to survive the respective regions and advance to the Final Four. In his previous 5 attempts, Obama has successfully predicted the eventual national champion once when he correctly crowned North Carolina in 2009. Last year, he ranked in the 74th percentile among over 8 million entries in the free men's tournament challenge on ESPN. In 2013, he picked Louisville to play in the championship game, but predicted them to lose to Indiana. Louisville, of course, went on to win over Michigan. 11-time NBA champion and Hall of Fame coach Phil Jackson was named president of the New York Knicks and confirmed his contract for 5 years in a news conference Tuesday. Terms of the deal were not disclosed through experts. Believe that Jackson will earn $12 million annually and get to play in Jim Dolan's band. While he has yet to report directly to team owner Dolan, Jackson will reportedly have full autonomy, with Dolan noting he will cede power willingly and gratefully. Jackson said of his hiring, "It's a wonderful opportunity to do something that I love, to be with this basketball team, create a team that loves each other, plays with each other, and play bass in Jimmy Dolan's band. This Knicks have not won a title since Jackson played for forward for New York in 1973. And
that would
finally,
be bass. Bass, by the way, bass.
Slapping the bass. Cam Newton to have ankle surgery. Finally, on a week that saw him lose all his top targets from last season, Panthers quarterback will undergo ankle surgery to repair an issue that has lingered since season's end. Recovery time for the procedure could take up to 4 months, so team officials remain optimistic that Newton will only miss time in minicamps in late May and June. And Scott Criscolo has some ice cream to celebrate. If you're interested in also sponsoring the Kevin Kelly Show Sports Flash, contact us at info@placenation.com. We'll be back after this.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at placetobenation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and... Shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans are wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans are wrestling off.
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for a show at Breakdown Matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Bob. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling. You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week you can join Marcus Vanderberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on placetobenation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
All right, so now we're all caught up on the wrestling news, the sports news. We've heard from Pierce. We talked to our good friend JR. But one of my favorite things, one of my favorite parts of this show here, the Kevin Kelly Show, is when we get to do like word association and ask Twitter questions and play a game. So that's what we're going to do now. JR, I bring you back on.
Yes.
OJR.
I am here.
Hey, what do you want to do first? I know we usually play a game, and you have a surprise for me with that. And then we've done some word association in the past, and we've got Twitter questions. What do you want to start with?
Let's do Twitter questions. We got three I want to isolate here.
All right.
We have a couple really good ones and then a funny one. So I'm going to ask you the first good one, and then we'll save the other one for the main event. So... Our buddy, at Stephen J. Right. Sutton, says, have ROH talent ever recommended any UK talent that they've seen when they come over to visit?
I was going to ask you, is that Stephen J. Sutton that's going to come over and start doing some Ring of Honor reports for the site?
It is. Stephen Sutton just inked. The ink is not even dry in the contract yet, but he will be doing some Ring of Honor Newswire and some wrestler profiles to kind of complement my recaps in this show. So a lot of ROH coverage.
I think I've chatted with him before, or I've Twittered with him before. Smart guy, and adds a lot to. He's going to add a lot to the site. So the question is: ROH talent ever recommended any UK talent that they've seen? Steven, the answer is yes, but I can't name anybody specifically because I'll give you the most recent example was Michael Bennett. And Maria, and when I did Michael's podcast, Mike and Maria in Wonderland podcast, last week, we talked about that. And he talked about there was a lot of great talent in PCW and in Preston City Wrestling, and that there are some guys that we should take a look at. But he didn't name anybody specific, and I think that we'll probably try to pinpoint some of those guys down the road. Obviously... The best way to see Ring of Honor talent is if they can somehow get over here and can compete, and if they can make a little home base for themselves for even a little bit of time, I know that's how Doug Williams got started in wrestling in America. Was he came over and he stayed here, and I met him wrestling on some Sheldon Goldberg shows back probably 10 years ago or so. So, yeah, I think there can be a lot for wrestlers in the UK, because I know that there have been a lot of good, positive vibes from Ring of Honor guys that have gone over and competed in companies there. So good question, and welcome to the site.
All right. We got, and we actually had a lot of good ones this week, but as always, we want to save some. So if you don't hear your question this week, you'll hear it in 2 weeks for sure, because we got a bunch of good ones. And here's our funny question of the week from our buddy Ken Smells Good. Who would win in a triple threat match, Kevin? Mike Bennett, Evil Doink, or Steve Mongo McMichael?
Wait a minute. Now, this is silly. No, this question is flawed because, I mean, is it just one fall? Is it elimination?
Bobby Disdain.
Well, I mean, it can't be Michael Bennett. Bennett would find a way to slip on a banana peel somehow.
Job City.
I'm going to go with Doink.
You're going to pick that guy in a green wig over All-Pro Mongo, baby.
Now, listen, if you threw Buff Bagwell in the mix.
Oh, you love Buff.
If you change this and it was Bennett, Evil Doink, and Buff Bagwell, then Buff Bagwell would win.
What if Mongo has Pepe?
In fact, Buff Bagwell, I think Evil Doink could outsmart Mongo and Pepe. Although it would be an interesting match. It would be an interesting visual. Bennett would be awesome to watch during this match because he could not keep a straight face.
No.
That's a guarantee.
How heartbroken were you when Evil Doink turned to Happy Doink?
I really didn't care. Ugh, I was a grown man by this point, and
Evil Doink was so good.
I was watching the wrestling business that I had loved as a child. With blood and guts and angles and heat being turned into a circus with a clown and a garbage man and pig farmers and a teacher.
You're right for fucking PWI or what? Jesus.
Shut up. I hated it. I hated it.
Yeah, you and Eddie Elner and Brandy Mankiewicz.
Mankiewicz.
Mankiewicz. Like Doug Mankiewicz, wasn't it? Is it Mankiewicz?
It's Mankiewicz.
Is she real? Were any of these people real? Or are they all
She is real.
Oh, yeah?
She's a good friend of mine.
Yeah, a little something-something on the side?
No. I'm a married man. She's very attractive and very smart. I've always liked her a lot.
Look at that. Breaking news. That's another guy we're going to get on. Well, now he's under contract with the Empire. I don't know if we can get Bill Apter on now.
Bill Apter works for WWE?
Well, he started doing some special assignment stuff for the website. And he, I think they brought him in just to be like their house analyst because he's all over these new documentaries and rewind pieces on the network. So,
yeah,
pretty smooth move, right? To bring him in, and now you kind of have like your staff historian to show up on all these things.
He's perfect.
Yeah.
He could do, what did he want to do? He wanted to wrestle people. I can't remember what that gimmick was.
Was that part of it?
I don't know. Probably not.
Man,
Randy was real. Stu Sachs is real.
Stu Sachs. From the desk of Stu Sachs, baby.
Yeah. So, a lot of good times there. Yeah, I hated all that Doink crap. Hated it.
Boo-hoo. All right. From our good friend and big fan of you when you come on our shows and of this show, Kevin, Officer Farva, asks you, and this is kind of a hot topic, Vince producing the announcers, is he a legit maniac in the headset? How much is what they say from Vince, etc.? For all the shoots I've ever listened to, I'd never hear anyone talk about the details of this, and I'd love to hear it. Kevin, did this happen when you were in the booth, or any anecdotal evidence that this is true, what Vince does in the microphones?
It is true, and it's a very good question. So I'll say it like this. Vince never screamed at me, per se. What did he say? How did he say? What did he say? You were there. What did it sound like?
He said, I'm not going to go over it again. We've already heard it once on the Place to Be podcast. Okay.
It was, but I know he did it. Okay. And he would have a thing where he would give you a line. And I think he did this to Michael Cole because Michael Cole told me this. He would give you the line. And then you're trying to find a space to get it in, right? Whatever he says. say so-and-so did this. Why did so-and-so do this? And then you couldn't quite, because there was a spot, there was somebody else talking, there was something else going on. And a couple times where he, Vince would get hot that you hadn't said the line, and go, say it! Say it! And so that was like the big thing. So you try to shoehorn this line in, and by the time you would say it, it would make no sense. Like the moment was gone. And so I did a couple of times when Vince would be yelling at the announcers before he could yell at me, I'd turn the volume down on him so I wouldn't hear him. And Kevin Dunn asked me one time, can you hear Vince in Gorilla? And I was like, no, I'm not hearing anything. Why? Oh, okay. Cause he said a couple things to you and he wondered why he didn't say them. I don't hear anything. And then I blame the audio guy.
Probably get some, but it was fired.
It was me turning it down.
It was you all along.
Yeah, it was me. It was me all, Austin. It was me all along. Yeah, I turned it down. I didn't want to listen to his nonsense. What is he? What's he going to add to the show? Now, Jim Ross, awesome producer. Ross used to produce us on the live heats before the pay-per-views. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, he was great.
How hard is it to commentate and speak with someone in your ear like that? I mean, it's supposed to be a real craft, right? Like a real learned practice. To not get distracted and to hear it while you're talking about other stuff.
It is. It takes practice, and you unfortunately you are going to tune out the person that you are listening to. Mm-hmm. So they had better talk while your partner is talking, and say what they have to say, short, sweet, and to the point. And that's where JR was so good, you know, because I would either be with Shane McMahon or whoever it was, and he'd be like, all right, Kevin, mention this about like Rock Bottom 99, Mankind, Rock, you know, mention this about the importance of the title. Then next time, okay, try to work in something about this tremendous sellout crowd. Those are two instances. And then so I kind of weave that into the story of what I was saying. You know, so our main event here on Sunday Night Heat is Triple H versus Draws. And this capacity sellout record setting crowd in the PNC Center or whatever it was called, of whatever the final attendance figure was, blah, 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 blah. And it was, man, it was just so good because I could weave that in, but that's good producing. That's awesome producing. So, and Cornette was very good at that as well, too, in Ring of Honor. But he didn't produce me very much. He was mainly yelling at the other people in the truck. He didn't yell at the announcers. He yelled at the people in the truck. And Dan Bynum, who I want to get on as a guest sometime, was the director. And he was just a complete character because he would direct the shows and be yelling. But not be mad yelling. He'd be excited yelling. And he's from Texas. So everything would be like, camera two, get ready. Go to, you know, it was, oh, and it was every once in a while, the key would be left open so I could hear him. It was hysterical. It was absolutely a riot to listen to him. And he'd be so blown up and yelling. It was fantastic.
So Vince did it, was he like, talk about my daughter's breasts.
That's a line that he probably, yeah. I'm sure that was there.
Push but, BB.
Now, you know, I'd love for an audio clip of Vince producing the announcers to be leaked. That right? would be great. That would rank up there with, you know, Orson Welles being an asshole in the, you know, being produced whenever he did those voiceovers, like in the 70s. Casey Kasem, Bill O'Reilly, those famous, you know, audio engineer revenge moments. Yeah, that would be great stuff. That would be fantastic. They did do something mean to Jim Ross one time.
No.
And they recorded. He was pissy, right? He was in a bad mood about something, probably something having to do with Heyman. And they recorded him having kind of a hissy fit at ringside. And they did that and sort of leaked it out. So be careful what you say, because as Kevin Dunn used to always say, remember, we're feeding the world. Mm-hmm. So we would be careful what to say during commercial breaks. So if a match was the Chiznits in the ring, we would go, how about, and, you know, just kind of look at each other like, oh.
Bowling shoe ugly.
That was bad. We wouldn't say, God, that match was an abortion. What a four-finger stinker that was. Ugh. It would be, hmm? A lot of looks. Terry Taylor and I got our hands slapped for that. For kind of talking when we shouldn't have. Me
what
following
happened with that run with Terry Taylor? Was it just that they wanted to sign the contract and that's why he left? Is that just the truth behind it?
You'd have to ask Terry, but I think, yeah, it was something like, yeah, there was some sort of contractual deal involved. They actually wanted him to be the play-by-play guy, believe it or not. They wanted me to be the color man. Hmm. And they very quickly realized that wasn't going to work. So we switched it up. And then we sort of split it. But I mean, I did the heavy lifting and kept the boat going down the stream in the right direction.
I always thought JR was a little too much with him. Did they have, like, real issues? Because I feel like he would take nonstop shots about, like, Red Rooster, Red Rooster. Like, he always would say it when he was around during that time.
Did they have real issues? Yeah, probably. Terry had issues with a lot of people. And, you know, it's not fair for me to say this without him here. But I think he'd be the first one to say, you know, yeah, I made a lot of mistakes and I rubbed people the wrong way. So, excuse me for coughing.
No problem. Trying to dodge the question. It's all right.
What do you mean I dodged the question?
No, you didn't. Yeah, because I always said it was cool when he came back, and I thought he was, you know, solid in the role, and then all of a sudden Russo and Ferrara left, and I think he was just kind of caught up in that whole storm and went to WCW with them.
I think they just offered him more money, is what I think it was.
Well, the word was, and maybe you can at least clarify this part, was that they made everyone sign a contract that wasn't like already under contract, like guys like that. I don't know what your deal was.
Oh, yes.
Because they don't want anyone just up and leaving like Russo and Ferrara.
And he didn't want to sign it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was. So he signed it. He refused to sign it, but then he left for WCW. So he kind of proved their point.
Right. And then they went out of business a year later. So.
Right.
Bad move. Should have signed it, Terry.
But now Terry's back and working with the developmental system.
Is he back there? Because I know he went to TNA for a while, too.
Yeah.
Where's the rooster? All right. Those are our Twitter questions. I actually have one other non-Twitter question, but it was an opus from our buddy Steve Rogers. But I wanted you to maybe take like 3 minutes out of every episode, because I think this is a big part of your career, and one that a lot of people have questions about, was your run on Bite This. So how do you feel about every episode doing like a two-minute Bite This story?
I would love to.
Okay.
But I need some prompting.
Okay.
I don't remember a lot of what we did. I did just get an email from my, or a Facebook note from my buddy, Big Country, who asked if you needed me to produce, if I needed him to produce your web show again, my web show again.
Come on. Get out of here.
I swear he said it. I'll forward you the message.
I guess he doesn't listen.
I guess not.
Big Country.
Memories of Bite This.
Well, let me ask you. I'll tell you the story he told me, and then maybe start next episode when you get some time to jog your memory. We can get more into it. But he said one time he tried calling in, and he called like a half hour before the show because he figured the lines would be jammed, and you picked up, and you kind of made fun of him for calling so early, and he had no clue, and then he kind of stammered and hung up.
See, I don't remember that. I vaguely remember it. And it sounds like something I would have done, but I don't remember that particular moment.
Did you used to get a lot of fan calls for that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Phones would be lit up. first co-host on Bite This, Vince Russo.
That's right. Vic Venom.
Yeah, that was good.
Well, he did Livewire, too, that one episode, a couple episodes he'd pop in. The infamous one with Heyman calling while Vince was on.
That's right. Bruce from Connecticut.
Yep.
What a rib.
Livewire was great when you were, you know, I was like 15 at the time, and it was all like, holy shit. 96 was a mind-blowing year for someone my age when I was watching at the time, because I knew enough about wrestling to know, you know, it wasn't on the up and up, but I didn't know so much like that my eyes weren't open during a lot of that kind of stuff. And 96 was such a crazy year with all the stuff they started doing, such a difference from the last few years before it. And of course, that was the Sunny explosion in '96, and it was a good year to be a fan.
It was a good year to be a fan. It was a lot of fun.
NWO. All right, ready to play some games?
I love games.
All right, word association this week, Kevin. Ooh. We have 12 names I'm going to give you, or 12 things. Just give me like 3 or 4 words. We don't have to dive into each one. Just the first things that pop in your head.
Okay.
You ready?
Prepared. Set, go.
John Cena.
A consummate professional, a survivalist, and a guy who has always had just tremendous charisma, but was blessed with 2 left feet.
Would he be on your WWE in-ring, like, star Mount Rushmore?
No.
Okay. Who is? Or do you want to say that for next time? Do you need to think about it?
I would say Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
Is it 4?
4 guys. Come on.
Hogan.
It's like second
Austin.
Grade yep.
I'm just saying. Are we limiting it to 4?
Mount Rushmore, yes. 4.
Then it would be Hogan, Shawn Michaels,
really?
Stone Cold Steve Austin, and The Rock.
Shawn Michaels?
Oh, yeah.
Over Bruno?
Please.
Over Andre?
Please.
All right. It's interesting.
Yep. All Not right. everybody can make the cut, and it's my Mount Rushmore.
Okay. Cranky Vince.
Oh, you know, I don't want to get blocked, but there was some shenanigans this week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's John Layfield.
I don't think so.
I think the same guy that put stuff up as John Layfield also put stuff up as Cranky Vince.
See, I think it's the opposite. I think whoever's running Cranky Vince is really smart, and he tried to frame JBL. Like he waited till JBL tweeted something and then immediately tweeted the same thing right after to try and make people think it was him.
See, I saw it as a page management issue because this happened to us in Ring of Honor a couple of weeks ago. Bobby Fish inadvertently tweeted something out thinking that he had logged out of the Ring of Honor account and instead and had logged into his own.
Mm-hmm.
And instead he wound up, you know, sending out something, some inappropriate language or something like that on the actual Ring of Honor Twitter page.
So how many people run the Ring of Honor Twitter page?
Couple.
Okay.
Couple people have access to it. But, so anyway,
well, tell Bobby Fish to retweet our shit. I tweet all this stuff at him, and I didn't know he was running it.
He's not running it.
Jesus.
No,
all the support and love I give that team.
Why do you have heat with Red Dragon now all of a sudden?
I love Red Dragon.
You want Bobby Fish to be on the show?
Yes.
All right, I'll get Bobby Fish.
I'm going to ask him why he doesn't retweet our shit when he's logged into the account.
I dare you to say that to him.
Oh,
no.
I will. I met
what?
Bobby Fish. When
he's logged into the Ring of Honor account? No. He was using somebody else's Twitter. The guy who manages the Ring of Honor page,
mm-hmm.
he was like using, he said, hey, can I jump on Twitter real quick? Yes. He thought he had signed out of the Ring of Honor page.
Oh, okay. I thought he meant Bobby Fish was working.
No.
I thought it was ECW. They have Spike Dudley selling t-shirts. I figured everyone pitches in.
Tommy Dreamer and Steve Corino and Jeff Jones doing ring announcing? Yeah. So, no. This was, hey, can I sign into Twitter? Yeah, okay. All right, you're good. And he writes whatever he writes. And it's like, oh, wait, oops. So that's why I thought it was a page management issue with JBL.
See, I think it was someone stalking JBL waiting to set him up. I think it's a very smart person behind Cranky Vince.
Oh, I love Cranky Vince. It's my favorite.
I thought it was Seth Mates for a while.
So did I. I actually thought it was Lagana at first.
Mm.
Then I thought it was Seth Mates. Another Bite This alum. And now I don't know who it is.
Very bitter Bite This alum. He's more bitter than you.
Oh, yeah. He's way bitter.
Like
he's tremendously bitter. Ooh. What? Come on.
You like that?
That's nice.
All right. Word association. Wichita State.
Impossible bracket. Sweet 16 if they're lucky.
Hmm. It is a tough bracket. They're making them work.
Yeah.
Want to talk about your Providence Friars right now?
Well, they are my Providence Friars now, as I am adopting them.
Yes. And everyone's on board. We got you, McGinn, Chad Campbell. Everyone's jumping on the bandwagon.
I did tweet the other day, which I noticed you didn't retweet, that they are the lowest ranked Big East champion to appear in the tournament, I think, ever.
Yeah, that's okay.
Lowest seeded.
Well, it's not their fault. The committee's an idiot. Bunch of idiots. How is BYU seated higher than them? BYU was straight up trash this year.
10-11.
BYU lost 5 games in that shit conference of theirs.
And I don't think they've won a game against top 25.
No, they shouldn't even be in the tournament. Garbage.
Agreed.
Garbage.
Agreed. They're one and done. Now that Florida State is in the NIT and they got off to... Did you watch any of that game against Florida Gulf Coast?
No. Did they win?
Florida State won. It was the ugliest basketball game I've ever seen in my life. My 6-year-old's team played better than Florida State and Dunk City.
You could have been St. John's getting whomped by Bobby Morris.
Oh,
at home.
Why didn't the guy get tossed out last night after he choked the one dude?
I don't know.
You saw that spot early, right?
I did not.
It was 14-2 or 16-2, Robert Morris. Guy buries a 3 on the wing. He gets fouled. It's knocked down. He gets up and he jaws a little something to the St. John's guy, but pats him like on the arm. Yeah. Good kid. You know, gave him one of those. The St. John's dude that caused the foul on the 3-pointer grabbed the guy by his throat with one hand and let go quickly. And the referee teed both guys, but then only technical the St. John's guy. How is that not flagrant 2 in an ejection?
St. John's got a lot of character issues on that team. I saw it firsthand. They picked a fight when they were at the dunk when they beat PC at the end of the game. They were getting very chippy. Carson DeRozier kind of gave a hard foul to block a dunk, and they started a big fight after the game. And they got a lot of garbage. God's gift.
Steve Lavin, whatever his name sucks.
Yeah. And they just gave him a – Scott's like, oh, Steve Lavin on the hot seat. I'm like, oh, they just gave like a 5-year extension. They a lot of talent, just not a very smart team.
No,
and, I mean, to lay down in front of you, I know it's disappointing to go to the NIT, but you go in front of your home crowd in MSG or whatever. I don't know if they're on campus.
No, they go in front of their home building. There was no crowd there.
Okay.
There was like 500 people in the
gym. Still, have some pride. You're blown out by Robert Morris in your home gym.
They played like dogs. So since Florida State's not in the NCAA and I don't have a dog to root for, I'm pulling for the PCs. I'm all in on the Friars, baby.
Well, I'd like to get through the first round. It'd be nice. I mean, this is already a big year for them. It's going to help with recruiting and kind of get the feeling good. We did the NIT last year, won a couple games. I really wanted to get in the dance this year, so I was pumped. I was at that game Saturday night in MSG when they beat Creighton, and just an awesome game plan by Ed Cooley, and they shut down. You know, they ran the zone and shut down Creighton other than McDermott. It was just bombing threes from half court, like nothing.
Yeah, he's incredible. I could watch him.
It was awesome.
I hope he turns into more than Jimmer Fredette from BYU.
Well, on our March Madness preview show on the Place to Be podcast, Scott's brother said he thinks he's going to be another Adam Morrison, which would be heartbreaking to me. I don't think he's going to be that bad.
What a twerp that Adam Morrison turned into, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
Hey. All right, let's do more word association.
All right, well, March Madness was one of them, but we've already covered that. Phil Jackson, give us a word associated with him.
Great coach, tremendous executive, unfortunately working for the biggest buffoon in professional athletics today.
Mr. T.
Hogan hates his guts and buried him in his book. So I hope that T wipes his ass on Hogan when they see each other at WrestleMania.
I said Hogan might be an adductagum, so we'll see.
Yeah.
The Undertaker.
I hope The Undertaker doesn't get hurt at WrestleMania, but I seem like I say that every year, and he never gets hurt.
Jim Ross.
Jim Ross, the greatest living wrestling announcer and a good friend, and I hope he has me on his podcast one day.
True Detective.
I don't know what that is.
I've never seen it either, but I know it's a show that's gotten a lot of love. And Chad and Brad.
It is a show that I have not seen that is getting a lot of love.
There you go. How about Breaking Bad?
Never seen it.
Me neither.
You too? I thought I was the only one.
I'm with you.
Now, my mind just went blank. The Blacklist with James Spader on NBC?
Yes, we talked about this.
Ooh.
Have you watched The Americans yet? That was part of your homework.
No, I haven't. I don't know where it is.
It's on TV.
All right.
It's on Amazon Prime, the first season. The new ones are on FX.
Amazon Prime? What is that?
Oh, God, he's so old. All right, final word association, Scott Criscola.
Who?
Jim Neidhart.
No, I like Scott. He's sensitive, though. He's a very smart, very talented guy.
Very sensitive.
And he just can't be sensitive. You pick on him, though, too much.
No. Please.
You tease him about his age.
I don't tease him. I just talk the truth. I don't tease him.
He's 40.
He's old. That's old. 41. He's going to be 41 this year.
Dude, I'm 46.
Right. So? I never lie. I never say you're not old. You're old.
Well, he's not as old as me, though. Let's keep it in perspective.
May as well be.
Well, I mean, lifestyle being what it is, and he looks...
Look, I've said that to him.
He does look older than me. If you would have told me...
Well, no, I think it's the opposite. He's a single guy. You know, he's not married, doesn't have any kids, so he hasn't worn on him. He's lived the life of Riley,
mm-hmm.
This guy. Just floats around, does his thing. So he looks young. I tell him, he's a young 41.
Okay. Just be nice to him.
Kevin, we've done 300 fucking podcast episodes together. I think by now I've earned the right to be honest and truthful, and we keep things rolling along.
Why did he get so upset when we questioned his integrity or whatever it is that we said on the first Kevin Kelly show?
I don't know. Why did he get hammered at my last party and pass out in the bathroom? He's 40.
Did he really?
Oh, that was good. Ask McGinn.
Ha ha.
By the way,
attaboy, Scott, attaboy.
Speaking of the life of Riley, when do I get to tell my Xavier story?
Next week. 2 weeks.
Such a good story.
Dan, write it down in the show notes. In the big book of stuff related to the show, that in 2 weeks Justin will at long last tell his Xavier story, and no, not Xavier University.
I wonder if we should put a fan vote up. Should I tell the Scott Criscolo day after Thanksgiving party story or the Xavier story? We'll let the fans choose on Twitter.
Let's vote.
Which story should I tell?
Let's put it to a vote. I'm fine with either one.
They're both good stories. All right, truth or dare time, Kev.
This week,
have you said Mickey Mouse yet?
No.
Oh, you're the worst. No one's going to buy this gimmick if you're not selling it.
I got to write it down. You know, you Facebook message me 18,000 times a day.
Right. I'm pretty sure I've told you this one every time you're going away on these trips.
You got to do it like in the moment, like the day of.
All right. So you're dating Saturday, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I will message you Saturday, or Dan will.
All right. Therefore, I will take the dare.
All right. Well, you got to do Mickey Mouse. And now, Kevin Kelly, I need you to work in Hachi Machi, the JR catchphrase.
Oh, I'm so in for this. Hachi Machi. Is there a right way and a wrong way to say it?
No, you got it. Hachi Machi.
Hachi Machi. So like, you know, a big spot, boom, boom, boom. Like, that's the time to throw in the Hachi Machi, right?
Yep.
Maria comes out and she's bent over the middle rope. Hachi Machi.
Boom. You got it.
Okay. I think this could become the new catchphrase. Carino has gone hog wild with the catchphrases.
He is. He's out of control.
It's a license to print money with this guy.
If you do Hachi Machi, that is your golden opportunity to finally mention this podcast and the website on your commentary.
Well,
because you could say Hachi Machi, a creator could be like, where'd you get that from? You could say my producer, and then you leave it at that. And then the next time you build on it a little bit more. Slip it right by.
I think we did talk about our respective podcasts on the 12th anniversary VOD.
Okay.
I believe we did. In fact, I'm sure we did. And I just wanted to see if they would say anything about it. And they didn't say anything about it. And now I'll mention the name of the show.
Okay.
And where to find it.
Jeez, I don't get what they'd have an issue with. I mean, we're very pro Ring of Honor.
I just want to make sure that we're doing this under the radar.
Okay.
It's better to ask for forgiveness than permission.
Yeah.
But if they don't know you're doing it wrong, if they don't know you're doing something wrong, that's even better.
Okay. Wrap it up.
Well, folks, you know, we learned a lot, I think, from Adam Pearce in our interview. A guy that I have a lot of respect for, and a guy that's carved his own way. When you think about the job that he had in Ring of Honor, he was in charge of then the number three promotion in terms of all the creative and booking decisions in the company. And it was not an easy job. It's a tremendously thankless job. And he had to transition away from the ring in order to do it. So when you do this, you lose your best guy in your own mind. because that's yourself. You can count on yourself. Well, now Pierce is at a turning point and a crossroads of his career. And while he wouldn't put a date or a time on it, his time is coming soon. So Adam is working towards finishing his wrestling career very strongly. And I'm proud to say that he's a friend, and I'm proud that I've had opportunities to work with him. And if he says I was influential in his career, then, man, all the better. Because he's one of my guys. I got a handful of guys out there, and he's one of my guys. He always will be. So I'm very proud of Adam Pearce, and I hope we get to see him in Ring of Honor again before his wrestling career is over. In 2 weeks' time right here, the road to WrestleMania and the road to Supercard of Honor for Ring of Honor, we'll have a very special guest, Ashley Six, cancer survivor, great professional wrestler, getting back in the ring on April 13th. We'll talk all about the fundraising show that he is putting on in Toronto. We'll talk about Ring of Honor. This Saturday, don't forget, Ring of Honor in Dayton. Get ready. What a main event. The Briscoes versus Adam Cole and Michael Bennett with Maria Kanellis. AJ Styles returns, the phenomenal one, to take on Chris Hero. Tommaso Ciampa defends the television title against Matt Taven and a whole lot more. That's in Dayton this Saturday, Montgomery County Fairgrounds. ROHWrestling.com for tickets and information. In Toronto, let's make this a sellout. Come on, come on. Global Wars, tickets are on sale. Oh, and in 2 weeks' time, we're going to talk a lot about the future of Honor as well. I'm very proud of that. So Global Wars tickets, Toronto, are on sale for May the 10th. Ring of Honor and New Japan Pro Wrestling present Global Wars and War of the Worlds. May 17th, Hammerstein Ballroom is sold out. So there you have it. For Dan McGinn, who is texting selfies, and my producer extraordinaire, Justin Rosero, who is receiving those selfies, I'm Kevin Kelly. Thanks for joining us here on The Kevin Kelly Show on the Place to Be Nation.
Hachi Machi!
Don't underestimate Mongo, Mr.
Ender! My backpack got jets. Well, I'm Boba, the Fett. Well, I bounty hunt for Java.